Hello, dear listener. Now, you are a very, very naughty person because you've been downloading hooky versions of my talk radio show, weeknights 10 till 1, talkradio.co.uk. Now, listen, I don't mind. But if you do download these hooky versions, thank you, Matthew Stevenson, for sharing them. Can you also do me a favour and download the official versions as well? Because the more official downloads we get, the more chance there is of me keeping my job. And which means if I don't keep my job, you won't get the hooky versions or any versions. There won't be a show. So if you go to iTunes or your usual podcast provider, type in Ian Lee, Talk Radio, whatever. It'll pop up, subscribe to, you can delete them as soon as they're on your computer if you want, but it would be really helpful. So peace, love, sayonara.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me down the road. It's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel light, that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel light, that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on.
That goes on. It was going on for too long for me. I'll be honest, that was going on for too long for me. I was expecting it to be a little bit. If you could give him a call straight back, James, that'd be awesome. Because Ed has bunked off, I think he may have been deported, what with him being a foreigner and us voting for Brexit. We're having a stream of people who, listen, obviously they've drawn the short straw and they've ended up working on this rubbish. And they come and say, introduce themselves. Tonight we have James, who's delightful, and they come and say hello. And I say, doesn't matter if you mess up, and I'll try not to mess up, and we'll see what happens. And that generally, it's worked so far. What's been interesting is the last couple of nights I've been working with a guy called Elliot, who used to work with me at LBC. And then Johnny Hearn is in the building, who used to work with me at LBC. They don't work there no more. What does that tell you? We all got the boot from LBC. Good evening, dear listener. Thank you, George Galloway. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It is Friday night. We're all feeling a little bit, when I say frisky, oh, I've got a headache. Hang on. I need to clip my neck. Hang on. There it is. When I say, there's another one. Oh, can't do it. When I say frisky, I mean not sexually frisky. Fractious? Skittish? Do those words go together? I think so. It's Friday. It's been a long old week, guys. A really, really long week, hasn't it? They say a week is a long time in politics, and that's a stupid thing to say. But we are here. It looks like we've made it once again. It's a phoning show, unlike any other phoning show. Why? Well, because I'm sitting here installing a hard drive while I'm talking to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what we're talking about. We're not going to talk about, I've not got specific things that we can discuss. It's just, I'll sit here, tell you about my day and tell you what I've got planned this weekend. And if you feel the urge to chip in with something, if something I say strikes a chord, beautiful, then you dial 0844 499 1000. We call you back. Or maybe you think I'm missing out something important that should be said. You dial 0844 499 1000. We call you back. And that's it, really. It's kind of a late night. Just, you know, quite often what we do on a Friday is just check in and say, yeah, we made it to the end. Here comes a cup of tea. Could you get me that extension lead as well, please? But there is no rush for that. Thank you, Catherine. And you're welcome to come and join me in the studio anytime you want. Quite often on a Friday, we just check in and say, yeah, we made it. We made another week, guys. Survived another week. And maybe we have a little look back at those people that didn't make it, didn't survive another week. Isn't it sad news about Terry Jones from Monty Python? I thought it had come out earlier that he had dementia. Because when I saw Monty Python live, was that 2015 or 2014? I think 15. It couldn't have been 2 years ago. No. Terry Jones looked... Oh, I was going to play a Terry Jones thing to start with. I'll find something later on. Terry Jones looked the frailest out of the lot of them. And he didn't really have a lot to do in the show. And his speech... I remember his speech was... It was really hard to understand what he was saying. And I thought it had come out then that he had dementia. But it's been announced today. Am I right? Does anyone else remember that being announced? That he had dementia? I mean, it's very, very sad. We'll play some... now, I'm trying to remember because I was going to play some Monty Python. But just plug it in. I'll sort it out in a minute. And just plug that in. I'll sort it out in a minute. I was going to play some Monty Python, but a lot of the Monty Python songs that you can get are very, very sweary. I mean, you know, very sweary. And I just wonder which... I haven't got any on my computer, so I can't play it. Alex! Alex!
Hello!
Alex, can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Did you hear anything I just said for the last 10 minutes?
Yes.
You do? Okay. I tell you why, because quite often when... This is a slightly technical thing, but indulge me, dear listener.
Okay.
Quite often when I... Because I have the way it works, I have a screen, I have the switchboard in front of me with the 10 lines... And it's got you and Alan waiting at the moment, but it could be 3, 4, 5 people waiting to come on. And I kind of pick the person, generally the person that's been there the longest. Or if the vibe is slightly different, I might pick someone different. But whenever I touch the screen and put them into the little box where I can talk to them, and I say their name, as I did there, that person never hears their name being said.
Oh, I did.
Right, stay there. Right, you didn't, because I said it twice. Right, stay there. Right, so, Alex, can you hear me now? I can't hear you if you can, but can you hear me now? Right, OK. Let's go to Alex. See, you did... So, did you stop hearing me for a second?
You're a cheeky man, Ian, ain't you?
Sorry?
You're a cheeky man.
No, I'm not doing a skit. I'm genuinely trying to work out when you can hear me and when you can't hear me.
OK.
Right, so hang on a second. Right. Let's go. Stay there. I'm not going to get rid of you, Alex. What's there? Let's go to Alan.
Hello.
No, shut up. Is that you? Is it? Oh. Right. Alan.
Yes, Ian.
Yeah, my name's Alan.
Shut up, Alex. I know it's you. What is this guy? Right, Alan.
Yes, Ian.
Did you hear me say, let's go to Alan?
I heard the let's go and then it cut out.
Oh, okay. So, Alan, can you hear me now? We can't hear you. Shut up, Alex. Let's go to Alan.
Hip, hip, hip.
So, but you didn't hear your name, did you?
I just heard hip, let's hip, go.
But Alex?
Hip, hip, hip.
No, shut up. Oh, who is this bloke? What is going on? For goodness sakes. Anyone would think we're here to have fun this
Welcome
evening.
Welcome to the weekend.
Welcome to the freakend. Oh, ooh. Why has no one ever said that before? Welcome to the freakend.
Hello, Alan.
Evening, Alex.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Not bad. How have your week been?
Oh, no, I've been better. I just spoke to George Galloway on the last show, and he didn't like my view, and he cut me off.
I don't like him.
No, neither do I, mate.
Hang on a minute. I like George. I had a nice chat with George about the Beano before he came on air.
He was a very pleasant man to meet, too. So.
Yeah, I like George a lot. I think
last time I tried to call George Galloway,
sorry?
He cut me off.
Sorry?
Last time I tried to call George Galloway, he cut me off.
Well, he thinks you're a prank call.
No.
I'm not talking to you. I was talking to the last person that spoke.
Okay, Ian, calm down, dear.
Jeez. But hey, you can't...
Michael Winner!
You think is oh jeez so both of you are so shallow that you just dislike a man just because he cuts you off.
That wasn't the main reason I was calling tonight, Ian.
No, but you don't. This is the conversation we're having.
Is it okay for me to speak, Ian?
You're going to get a boot right up your arse. But yes, go on.
Okay.
Well, I'm beginning to see why George Galloway cut you off.
That's just nasty. It's very nasty, Ian.
You wouldn't like that in Big Brother.
Oh, crikey.
Alex, are you going to get to your point?
Yes. I was about to ask you, the one question, what do you think of Brexit?
What?
Why are you asking me that?
Because, did you vote?
Why are you asking me that?
I'm just wondering what your opinion was on it.
But why are you asking...
I was about to ask George Galloway, and he had... Yeah,
Well, he was... Hang on, if you were asking George Galloway what his opinion was on Brexit, then you're not very well informed, because he was... he wanted to leave. He was part of the campaign to leave.
Okay. Well,
how could you not know that?
No, I do love my politics, but I don't particularly like Mr. Galloway and...
Well, then why do you phone up his radio show?
Because I had some views about Jeremy Corbyn, and that's the reason why I called up. But,
if you don't like him, why do you listen to him?
I love hearing debates.
Right. But I feel uncomfortable about people...
Or masturbates.
Oh, Jesus, Alex. 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 No, we're all shaking our heads here. That was poor. I mean, that was poor. That was poor. I feel... Listen, I like George. He's... I don't agree with everything he says. I agree with bits of what he says and disagree with other bits. I think he is an excellent, excellent broadcaster. I love listening to him because he's passionate.
Yes.
And whenever the few brief conversations we've had, I found him an absolute sweetheart. To me, I take them as I find them. And I'm also...
A nice individual.
Shut up. I'm also slightly uncomfortable about people slagging off other presenters on my show when those people aren't here to stick up for themselves. And
well,
if you can't, if you're this coming on
face to face, but he cut me off. So
but that's his prerogative. It's his show to cut you off.
Okay.
If he wants to cut you off, then good for him. He obviously had his reasons. I think I know what those reasons are.
Okay.
And you don't care what I think about Brexit. You have no... You obviously...
Of course I do. That's why I'm asking you.
No, you don't care. You're only asking me because you didn't get to ask George Galloway.
Well, but if that's the way you think of it, my friend, then... Yes,
well, you just said that. That's what you said. You said, I want to ask you because George Galloway cut me off before I could ask him. So you just want to ask someone... I'm making up that you just want to ask someone what their views are on Brexit so you can tell them that they're wrong.
Well, no, I have my view, and I would like other people's opinions.
But why? Why do you want other people's opinions? How will that change the world? How will that change this country? And how will that change you?
That's democracy, mate.
No, democracy isn't asking people what their views are on Brexit.
No, democracy is, obviously, come on, Ian. Yeah,
Alex, let me give you a tip, right? You're trying too hard. You're trying too hard, and you were trying too hard from the off, and that's fine, OK? It's exciting. It's Friday. It's exciting. You're on talk radio. I get it. Don't try. Just don't try. Just have a conversation. What's democracy?
Having your say. And if I have a say and people don't like it, then they don't like it. That's it.
But that's it. You're coming from a combative point already. You're assuming people won't like what you say.
Oh, no, but people won't like what I say. Some people won't like what I say. I'm a UKIP supporter. Some people won't like what I say.
Right.
Some people will like it. And that's democracy. You have a freedom of speech and you can say what you like.
Well, you can't. No, not on this show, they don't. There's no freedom of speech on this show. But you know that, Alex. You're an intelligent person. You know there's no freedom of speech on the radio in this country, don't you?
You seem to have it every time you're
nope.
on. I've been an avid listener from
nope.
you for a long time.
Nope, not at all. Of course I don't have freedom of speech on here.
Look, can we put Mr. Hip 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 back on? I'd like to listen to him.
But we don't... You're trying too hard again. There's no such thing as freedom of speech on the radio. Shall I explain why?
Okay.
You can't swear.
Yep.
So that's already, a ring fence around certain words. And you can't libel people. So
okay. There's
no freedom of speech on the radio.
Okay, okie dokie. Well, I have nothing else to say, Ian.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
No worries. Thank you.
That was awkward. I make up. We'll come to you in a second, Alan. Don't worry. I'm not forgetting you. And Scott.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello? How did you... Alan?
Yes?
How can I hear you? Your fader's down. Have I got control of these faders?
I don't know.
Now say something.
Hello?
Now say something. That's better. Give me... Now say something.
Hello?
Now say something. Okay, that's better. That's better. He obviously just wanted to tell us he was a UKIPper.
I think he'd prepared something, hadn't he?
Yeah, he had a little... He had a little party piece, and he felt upset that George Galloway... I can tell exactly why George came off. This show, people get longer crack of the whip, even if they are annoying. And he had a little party piece. He's not interested. He wasn't interested in what I thought about Brexit. He'd made up his mind about what I thought about Brexit, and then he was going to do his little spiel about being a UKIPper and it's democracy and it's what we voted for, and that. But why was George talking about Brexit tonight? I don't think he was.
Really, he was talking about all sorts.
Yeah,
about Brexit.
Here's a tip, Alex. Thank you. Interesting call. I'm going to give it 3 out of 10. Right. Here's the thing. When you come on. And this is a tip to everyone. It's tempting to come on and perform, okay? You don't need to. Straight from the off, he was performing. Honestly, there's no need to. It kind of, if anything, I'm going to be more disposed to find you a little bit irritating. And that's just me. But people coming on and performing. Do you know what I mean, Alan?
Definitely.
There we go, you see. And don't be a bumlick either, Alan.
No, I wouldn't dream of it.
Good lad. 0844. We're off to a flying start. 0844 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I had a look in the papers, and again, there's nothing in the papers. It's still all Great British Bake Off. Which I've still got no interest in, and I'm trying to think, I must be interested in this, because 15 million people watch it, and there's so much money involved, and it's the BBC, and it's Channel 4, both companies I work for, and I couldn't give a toss. Could not give a toss about it at all. Alan Caddick's on the line. Good evening, Alan. You're through to Talk Radio. Good evening, Alan.
I was listening back to last night's show.
Yes, Alan.
And we said there was going to be no tech tonight.
Oh, do you know what? You're absolutely right, and I've forgotten. We'll do it one day next week. Well remembered. I tell you what, we're going to do it another day, because I've just spent
just spent
bloody ages setting up my computer and the Periscope and stuff like that. So we will do it another day, one day
was
next week.
Tuesday.
No tech Tuesday.
No, that's good. No tech Tuesday.
No tech Tuesday. Yes, you're right, Alan. Thank you. How's Mum?
She's at home. She's resting. She came at about 9:30 this morning.
Was she all right?
Yeah.
Have you spoilt her rotten?
Yes, we have.
Good, good. Good, good, good. That's what we, I'm glad she's back home, Alan, and I hope everything, you know, her recovery continues.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice one.
And I was looking at the old Argos catalogues again.
Oh, yeah, the old Argos catalogues, huh, you pervert?
And I was looking at, do you remember a cartoon called Mask?
I do vaguely remember the cartoon called Mask, yes.
I was looking at some of the toys that they had in the 1985 catalogue.
Oh, yeah, what toys did they have for that?
They had Boulder Hill.
Yeah.
Which was like the base.
Yeah.
Condor.
Yeah.
Switchblade.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Scott. Now, how could he not hear that? Scott? He's gone. Can we try and get Scott back? John!
What kind of cake?
We never found out the answer to that question, did we?
No.
We never found out the answer to that question. John, if you've never listened before, do you know what? I'm not going to explain that reference. I did think, you know when Peter was telling us that story, I did think of completely jettisoning the whole hip thing.
And, I think you should.
Yeah, and people would start their phone conversations with what kind of cake?
Well, you know, it's going well so far.
It would be, well, it's working perfectly here. It would be the new hello, and people go, what kind of cake? Yo, what kind of... Well, I don't know what the response...
Well, you know, you had Scroobius on, so you could say pip, pip, pip.
Pip, pip, yeah, I know we missed it. All these marketing toys, no wonder... Toys, tricks, ploys. No wonder we've got no audience. Yes, we could have, when Pip was here, we could have started the show with Pip, Pip, Pip. That's what we could have done.
That almost sounds, it could be like a P.G. Woodhouse thing.
Yep.
But you've got loads of listeners, haven't you, on your podcast and things?
Loads.
So you haven't got anything, but you've got loads. You've got hundreds and thousands.
Absolutely loads of them. And here's the thing.
You have.
I'm worried, John, that I've lost my charging cable for my... my telephone again. I keep losing the charging cable for...
It's not under the desk?
No.
Is it above the desk?
No.
I think you lost it.
Yeah. I had it in... The thing is, I had it in the car. I remember taking it out of the car, but I might not have taken it out of the car. So we're now praying, wishing and hoping... It's in the car. That's all we've got to cling on to. That's the only hope we've got to cling on to. Otherwise, I've got to go and spend another £15 on a cable.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I reckon there's a guy like Hamburglar, but for Apple, who just goes around.
Hamburglar.
Yeah, but for Apple. Maybe it could.
App burglar.
And yep. He goes around stealing. Like all the leads and things and smashing screens and stuff like that so that Apple makes more money.
Who's the one who goes around stealing all the biros?
Biro burglar. Byron burgers.
Umbrella burglar.
Byron burgers.
He's in the penitentiary.
Sorry?
Penitentiary.
Where did you come from?
Yeah.
Let me just pencil that in. Pencil that in. Let's do some pen puns. Pen puns are fun, aren't they, guys? Pen puns?
Pen puns. Okay, go on.
Pen pon, pen pon. That's a Belgian one. Pen pon, pen pon.
You don't get pen pals anymore, do you? Because it's the internet.
No, you get sexting partners.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
I wouldn't know about that, unlike you guys.
It took a lot longer to achieve an orgasm back in the 80s. It could take months of to-ing and fro-ing.
I used to get filthy.
You can't say that.
I used to get some very filthy letters. Maybe it's just as well he couldn't send pictures.
Hang on one second. John, could you say that clean for me, please?
You can't say that.
Can we clip that and get that sent over to me, please? That's my new text alert. Now, John, are we allowed to say...
Oh?
..that you've been recently convicted of a crime? No. Are we allowed... Sorry? Is he crying? Is he crying or is he sexting?
Well,
I get emotional.
He's sexting. Are we allowed to say what you will be doing in front of 100 people on the... When is it? The 11th of October? No, the 30th of October. The 30th of October. I keep getting the... Why do I think this... What's happening on the 11th? Something is... Are we allowed to... Right, John. Are we, John, allowed to say what's happening, that what you're doing in front of 100 people on Sunday the 30th of October?
You can say that if you like, yeah.
Tickets are sold out. This guy's going to be pushing a wheelbarrow across the stage. Oh, suddenly not... Oh. We've got about 30 tickets left all of a sudden. I'm not quite sure what happened what's happened there. But no, if you want tickets to see this, guys, I'm afraid you're going to have to hang outside and perform sexual favours on either Catherine or get a ticket tout to sell you a ticket for probably upwards of £100. Because it's
do you still get ticket touts hanging around outside venues?
Yeah, you do. You do. You don't get them so much and there's not such a big business now. But yeah, you do get ticket touts. When I went to see Bare Naked Ladies a couple of weeks ago, there were loads of touts. Got any tickets for sale, mate? Got any tickets for sale? No.
None of them have got any teeth.
They're very... It's a strange type of person, the ticket tout. You're right. I think it's just one bloke. He's quite a small bloke with no teeth. And he looks a little bit grubby.
Yeah, that's him.
That's the fella, isn't it? That's
Bernard, that is.
I don't have a problem with ticket touts. I mean, I'm tempted. As I said, I've bought two... tickets to see Yusuf Islam, a.k.a. Cat Stevens.
£100.
£100 each. I'm tempted to...
I've never heard of that sort of price for a blooming gig.
And it's in a theatre. It's not like O2 or something. I'm tempted to sell one of them for £200. Then it's cost neutral. The whole thing is cost neutral. Then I'm going for free. But then I have to sit next to someone who's stupid enough to... Saying that, I once bought two tickets to see Cat Stevens for about £350 from a hooky website. So... I'd probably end up selling them to myself.
Yeah.
But I might do that. I might sell one for £200. Cost neutral. Would you... John?
Good evening.
Do you want to go and see Cat Stevens with me?
What is it? What, for £200?
Beautiful. Thanks very much. There we go. Done. Soldier honour.
He's not that good.
Matthew and son is having some fun. He's touching his bum. Matthew and son, don't tell his mum. His fingers up his bum, 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 bum. Matthew and son. Goes against all of his Muslim beliefs now, though, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah, you see?
Doesn't sound that good. Who's Matthew and son? Is that like one of these indie bands you get?
Yeah, Matthew and son. Mumford and Son, let's be honest.
Mumford and Son.
They're the dullest band in the world.
Cleaners.
They've just recorded an album. They've just done the thing, and I hate it when bands do this, where they've gone and recorded an album with some African musicians. Oh, God. Can I say
Hang
this?
Hang on. So they've done a Paul Simon.
Well, but Paul Simon had done a Neil Diamond. Because Neil Diamond did it first, but with less... Saying that, I heard an excellent documentary last night on the way home about Malcolm McLaren when he travelled through Africa and America, just basically on a jolly, but he took Trevor Horn with him and he recorded loads of, street music and ethnic music. And I saw these wonderful black musicians, these Afro-Americans with their big frizzy hair. And I thought, oh, I can imagine that on an album. So I got them to the hotel and I paid them in dollars. And then I recorded them.
Is that how he made the Double Dutch?
That's how he made the Double Dutch.
I love that song.
He had two great records, right? He had Double Dutch, right? And what was the other one from that album? Do you remember, John? What was the other one from that album?
Oh, blimey. Buffalo... No, not Buffalo Girls, was it?
He's right. Now, my sister bought this record from Boots, when Boots used to sell records, right? It was the first record that we had to feature that.
Scratching.
It scratches so much and making me itch. And we thought the record was broken, right? So we took it back to Boots and got another record and came back. And we thought the record was broken. So we took the record back. Now, here's the thing. And my sister will be listening, hopefully. She can let me know. Was the record actually broken three times? Or was it just this rubbish? I don't know how that mystery unfolded. Do you know, John?
It's a great record. He was so important, wasn't he, in the history of music? He was so incredibly important for someone who wasn't a musician.
I interviewed him once while I was off my face on morphine for medical reasons. And he was playing Silly Buggers as well. It was a tough old interview. John, I've got to go. Really? Thanks for calling.
Okay, man. See ya.
Tutty bye. Daisy, you'll be next. 08444991000.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
My sister has gone insane. She's tweeting me going, I have no idea what you're on about. When we lived in Monksfield Way, Joanne, you bought Buffalo Gals by Malcolm McLaren from Boots. I mean, what year did that come out? 82, I'm going to say. So I would have been 9. Maybe 81. And it had a scratch in it. And so you played it to Mum and she went, yeah, it's a scratch. So you took it back to Boots and you brought it back and it had a scratch in it. So you took it back to Boots. I think on the third time you went, oh, sod it. And you kept it. But now I'm not sure whether it actually had a scratch in it or whether it was it had a scratch in it in the song. How can you not remember that story? Isn't it funny? The things that we could have had, you know, really similar life experiences with someone, primarily with a brother and sister, someone who's of a similar age. And the things that have lodged in our brains. 08444991000, by the way. The things that have lodged in our brains as significant and important had no relevance, no apparent relevance on that other person's life. For example, my sister doesn't remember something that I remember being a really big thing. I used to be scared of scratches in records. If there was a scratch or it would jump, it used to terrify me. I used to think that the record was haunted record. That's what I used to think. Do you know why? Because I was an idiot. It honestly, Joe, it happened. I bet that's one of the few things that my mum will remember. My mum, who's, you know, may God bless her, is forgetful for medical reasons. She remembers the oddest thing. I bet she remembers that. I'm going to go and see her next week, and I'm going to ask her.
Hi, Jake. That was Mum.
Sorry, Daisy?
Hello.
Hello, Daisy.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
I remember the song.
Huh?
Hello.
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 What's wrong?
Nothing. We're having a fire.
What?
We're having a fire.
Say, you're having a fag?
No.
Talk to him
properly. Oh, just a minute.
What is going on?
He's got you on speaker.
We're having a fire.
You're having a fire?
Yes.
Why are you having a fire?
A bonfire.
Well, again, the question is still pertinent. Why are you having a bonfire? It's late
September.
Well, but it's not November the 5th.
Like, I have a bookshop that I'm getting rid of, so we thought, let's burn it.
You're burning books?
Shelves from a bookcase.
What's happened to the books?
We kept them in boxes.
How old are you?
11.
I was going to say, you sound about 9.
I'm not 9.
Well, you sound about it.
I'm not.
Well, you say.
If you had 9, I don't. Yeah,
no. You sound about 9. Have you been drinking?
No!
Not even warm milk?
Mum let me have a sip of gin once. But apart from that.
Apart from that, nothing.
That was like,
sounds like your parents are doing a great job. So you're having a bonfire in the wrong month. And you're staying up late. You should be in bed.
It's Friday.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Your problem.
No, it will be my problem.
Am I not allowed?
Sorry? No.
Am I not allowed?
No. No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
No, that put her in her place, didn't it?
Last time I called, I was in year 6.
What year 6? Hang on. What year are you in now? Year 7?
Yes.
Well,
don't you remember?
Well, no, I just did the maths. If you're 11... who's that talking in the background?
My mum's friend.
Well, yeah. You've not missed a lot, Catherine. We've got a drunk 11-year-old on the phone who's having a bonfire in September, not November the 5th.
What?
What? What? Daisy, do you remember when my sister bought Buffalo Gals by Malcolm McLaren and it was scratched and she took it back three times?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I was listening to you.
See? Thank you. See, if she remembers it... Well, Daisy, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah.
What is wrong with kids these days?
I know.
What an attitude.
Yeah, millennials, isn't it?
Shattitude, more like.
Wow.
Coming up later on in the show, my interview with Hunter Davis, that was this the third time or the fourth time that we'd arranged to do it? And it got I had a car crash. That was one.
I rescheduled.
You got the day wrong. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, Hunter Davis is brilliant. He's 80 years old. He's written a few Beatles books. He's got a new one out called The Beatles Book, which is an absolute joy to read. Someone nicked a copy of it from me here, but I've got another one. And I did tell him that he'd missed out something from the book. He was quite upset that I'd pointed it out.
Well, I think heads will roll.
Spencer's in trouble. He misses out a really key character. It's such a good book, right? I mean, it's for the Beatles aficionado. But with Christmas coming up, if you've got a dad or a nan or a sister or whatever who likes the Beatles, honestly, this is an absolute treat. And but it misses out one important character, Jimmy Nicol, who played drums for the Beatles in 1964, I think, or three, when they toured the Netherlands, Die Niederlander, and Australia. And Ringo had tonsillitis, so they got this other drummer called Jimmy Nicol, who is fascinating. Obsessed with Jimmy Nicol. He's not in the book.
In the people section. No Jimmy Nicol.
No Jimmy Nicol. And Hunter was a little bit embarrassed. But he hit it well by eating throughout the interview. And I love it. I do love it, right? It makes some. I mentioned this on Twitter and some people got angry for me. Not at all. I love it when an interviewee decides the interview is over.
Do you know who he reminded me of? My gran.
Really?
When I phoned her and she'll say, well, I won't keep you then. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Because I had in my head about another 5 minutes to go. And he just went, well, Ian, it's been great talking to you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Hunter. Bye. You'll hear it at the end of the interview. It's hilarious the way he does it. And I'm trying to think, Ringo did it, actually. Because I couldn't end the interview with Ringo. And at the end of Ringo just went, well, this guy's never going to end it, so I'm going to wrap it up. That's the end, folks. Thanks for watching. And it was brilliant.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. It was brilliant. More people should, more interviewees should say when they've had enough. Why should it be up to us, the interviewers, or you, the producers? Why should it be up to us how long we talk to them for?
It's the interviewing version of the Margaret Thatcher handshake. Yep. Apparently, she used to do this really, you know, this real kind of manipulative move where she would shake your hand as she pushed you away.
Yeah.
We had a vicar that did that.
Yeah, it's a skill. 0844 499 1000. Lots of phone calls this evening, which is lovely. Duff, you're going to be next. Then it's Sarah Sophie. But first, here's a break.
Late Night Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Here comes the jacket of truth. Keep losing my leads to Hello Darkness, my old friend. I've come to touch you up again. While the sovereign was sleeping, I found my lead in my pocket. And the world's spit goes a bit higher there. Duff!
Hello.
Hello, Duff.
How are you?
I'm very well. Hang on a second.
Yes.
Guys, calm down. Is that... Now, James, that's my... out to the news. You can go on the microphone and say hello to the boys and girls if you want to.
That's a privilege I wasn't sure I was afforded.
Well, you... don't abuse it. But that's my out time, then it goes straight into the news.
That is, yes.
I love it.
Shut up at that point, all right, everything
mate.
Works
well,
out clockwise.
All right, mate. Kathy told me to shut up.
I know. Does he think he is?
Hey.
That's amusing, isn't it?
It's all banter. It's all banter. Thank you, James. Excellent stuff indeed. Duff, yes, sir?
Yeah, well, this is very exciting, and I'll tell you why.
Pourquoi?
I'm kind of... well, this might be more exciting for me than it is for you.
Oh.
So this is the second kind of time that I've looked into your show.
Oh.
And so this is, you just come on and say, talk about whatever you like, right?
Yeah.
brilliant. That's really exciting.
It might be brilliant. It might be lazy, and some people find it quite daunting. But some people like being spoon-fed. Tonight we're going to talk about immigrants, or tonight we're going to talk about Brexit, or tonight I want to know bands that begin with that have got three or more brothers in them. The Bee Gees. That's not a bad one, actually. Actually,
Beach Boys.
Hang on.
Go on.
Jacksons.
Yeah! This is a good one. Oh, wait,
Osmonds.
Yes, 0844-499-1000. Bands that have got three or more brothers in them.
Couldn't have had Bros, could we?
No. There was a third. Hanson!
Craig.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hanson. Craig was the third one in Bros, wasn't he?
Craig, the bass player, but he's
who they got rid of and then went on to be head of Sony or something strange.
Yeah, he's, like, really big in the music industry now, isn't he?
Good,
unlike Bros.
Well, apparently there's talk on Facebook, so it's got to be true, of them doing a tour.
I know, we mentioned this the other night, Duff, and I'm all for bands getting back together. I love nostalgia, I love it, and I think if bands can get back together and earn a few quid on stuff that happened 20 years ago, brilliant. But Bros, were Bros ever that big, really, Duff? I mean, they had three hits?
Well, they were big in the 80s, weren't they, with lots of girls.
Yeah.
And probably a few guys. And I don't know, I mean, I'm a child of the 80s kind of thing, and I remember them as being pretty big for a little while.
They had one album, Push.
Was that it?
Yeah, it was, and the cover was them pushing the word Push, I think. They had the hits were When Will I Be Famous?
Drop the Boy, which was my first ever... Oh, God.
I like that one.
I ever bought.
They also had the one about their sister dying in a car crash with the line, "She just didn't get out in time."
That
is absolutely true. That was...
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it was about... I'm sure it was about this. It was a very sad...
That's really weird.
...story, you know. She just didn't get out in time.
You know, surprisingly, a great deal about Bros.
Oh, I like pop. I'm a fan of pop, and I remember I remember watching them.
Yeah. I was turned on to a new band the other day, and it's a song. You know when you get a song from someone, you just keep going back to it all the time.
I remembered another one they did. The fourth one from the album was "There's a Cat Amongst the Pigeons."
I was thinking about seagulls. Yeah, it was pigeons, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm feeling a bit better about the fact that I only bought the one single.
I remember what that. Hang on. It was about their sister, and we've got to be listening because Bros have been known to rock up at radio stations in the past.
And, of course.
Yeah, well, they rocked up at Steve Allen. One of them pushed him up against a wall. I've had history with Bros as well. They're not fans of my work,
right?
So let's, you know, I don't want to get a kicking in the car park by the Goss.
You don't want a Bros off, do you?
I don't.
I could take him.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about getting beaten up, Kath.
Oh.
Hey!
You just put on your Bros knuckles and give him a crack.
Well, this is... What? This? No. Here we go. This is the song I was thinking of. Here we go. Hang on, have some of this. Here we go. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah! Oh,
this is Bros.
Yeah.
I don't remember this one.
She just didn't get out in time.
I can see it. It's a black and white video.
Yeah.
He's looking all moody out. Off stage right. Probably just with his blue eyes highlighted.
Yeah. This is absolutely spot on.
Yeah. Sounds like a girl.
Hang on. Here we go. Hang on. Let's get to the chorus. I mean, that's a clumsy lyric.
Oh, my Lord. I tell you what, he was wearing tight pants that day, wasn't he?
Luke, of course, is very big in Vegas.
Yeah, strange,
does big,
isn't
does
it?
Big, like, sort of Rat Pack-style Vegas show. Big star in Vegas.
Now, Luke was Luke the drummer? Yes.
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, and Matt was blimey.
Oh, do you know what? I wish them all the success in the world, and
absolutely.
Good for them. Good for them, and I'm sure it'll be a huge success, and people... Because it's all about people reliving their youths, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah, a bit of nostalgia goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Good for them. Well done, Goss.
Something I now, in part of my excitement about kind of just knowing that you can talk about anything,
yeah.
I've been listening and just writing. I've got an envelope here. I've just written down random things so I didn't kind of dry up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one of the things that you were talking about, you mentioned very briefly ticket touts earlier, didn't you?
Yeah.
About now, I used to work for a pretty big ticket company a few years ago, and a tout came in to the office.
Yeah.
And he got really quite nasty with one of our members of staff because she wouldn't give him the tickets that he'd phoned up and said, "Oh, I want X amount of tickets."
I want 100 tickets.
Well, something silly, yeah. And when she found out he was a tout, she's like, "Well, I'm not selling them to you. We're a professional business. You're not getting the tickets then to go." And he threatened her, and he was like, "When you leave here tonight, you better watch your back."
Oh God, really?
Yeah, the police were called and everything. So that was probably my closest encounter with a tout, and that kind of not nice, is that? There you are doing your thing, and you stop someone just from, and they get threatening as all hell.
Yeah, it's seedy, illegal underwear. Where was it? Ticketmaster?
No, it was a place called First Call. Do you remember First Call?
I do remember First Call. Was it David Prowse?
Yes, that was the one. I think Keith
Prowse.
David Prowse was
Green Cross Code Man. Yeah. Keith Prowse.
Keith Prowse
went bust, I think, didn't it?
That's it, yeah. And I believe, and now I don't want to get libel or anything like this, so I believe that the story was that he wasn't allowed to trade, after he went bust, he wasn't allowed to trade under the name Keith Prowse for a few years or something like that.
I think I heard, the company went bankrupt, I think that's the way it works, and I do remember that, because my friend...
Yeah.
Got a friend who works at Ticketmaster. Loads of my friends worked at Ticketmaster at various points in their lives, and quite often I will find, even now, that friends that I don't know each other, they'll meet at a do and go, "Oh, did you used to work at Ticketmaster?" And they all know each other through Ticketmaster. I remember when I had a new girlfriend years ago, and I proudly introduced her to all my friends. They went, "Oh yeah, we know Tess. She works at Ticketmaster." It was ridiculous.
That's bizarre, isn't it? That's really weird. I tell you what, actually, going tickets. On the nostalgia thing, you know some jobs you do and at the time you're just like, it's all right. Looking back, that was a cracking job. You'd sit in the call centre, in would come the call. I have two tickets for cats, please. Do you have anything at the premium tickets? But the funny one was that we sold a whole array of like sports things. The people that used to phone up for the ENO, for the English National Opera, you'd always hear them. They would have the opera turned right up loud on when they're on the phone to you.
In the background, of course.
Almost like they had to prove to you that they were an opera fan and they should be getting the best.
Did you have people going, "Duff, look, mate, I wouldn't normally do this, but Genesis are doing a new tour. Is there any chance you can get us really good seats for that?" Did you get people tapping you up all the time?
It was such a long time ago. You did get people trying to say, "Oh, you can always do better than that, or do better than," or whatever. It was.
But did you have your mates? Because I'd always go to my mate. Look, Beyonce's about to come over. Could you get an advance? I like Beyonce. Can you get us an advance? And he would very politely say no.
Yeah, kind of. That was a couple of times. Actually, the most interesting one I've had. Do you remember the guy who used to advertise Guinness with the blonde hair?
Rutger Hauer. Kath and I met someone this week who'd worked very closely with Rutger Hauer.
That's crazy. Well, now you're going to meet a second... Well, I mean, I only took a phone call from him, but he opened up like this. I got the call came through and he went, "Hi, this is Rutger Hauer." And I was like, whoa. And I can't remember for the life of me what he was looking for.
He was buying tickets.
He was buying tickets. He came through.
He phoned up and said that he was Rutger Hauer before he'd even... So he wasn't... Yeah. "Sir, can I get your credit card details? What's the name on the card?" Rutger Hauer. It wasn't that. He just opened up his opening gambit on the phone to a ticket merchant was, "Hi, I'm Rutger Hauer."
Uh-huh.
That's insane!
well, he wanted really good tickets, so cut out all the BS. Just go straight for the jugular, I suppose.
Duff, listen, I'm going to move on because I want to squeeze someone on. But thank you for calling in, and thank you for embracing the fact that you can call in about anything. You can call in about anything, and it does leave some people quite daunted by that, and it does leave me scratching my head as to whether we're doing the right thing or whether we're doing the wrong thing doing that. But we had nothing yesterday, blinding crow, nothing today. A strong first hour.
And sometimes when we come in with things to talk about, we never get there.
We just never get there in time. So that's the way it works, really. And well done, Duff, for phone. You don't have to write stuff down. If you notice, we did 10 minutes there without even getting to, you know, before we got onto what you were talking about. It's just having a chat, isn't it, really? It's just phoning up and having a chat. And even if you haven't got anything to say, we'll come up with something to say. That's sort of how it works. It's no more complicated than that. You dial 0844 499 1000, and you'll either speak to Kath or it's James tonight, and they'll take your details and they will call you back. It's as simple as that. We got planned this weekend, Boyle.
Well, it's Little's birthday.
Oh yeah.
So I've got to make a cake. Oh, she wants an ever more elaborate cake. She wants a unicorn cake. She said, "You could just do me a big horn."
Whatever happens, just having a cake.
I know. Well, they're getting ideas.
Just have a cake.
And there was a little bit of a thing today with my mum.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
To do with birthdays. She'd bought a present for my eldest, even though it's not her birthday, because she didn't want to be left out. And I said, no.
Oh.
I don't want her to have that.
Oh, really?
I don't do that.
Do what? I wasn't listening.
If it's not your birthday, you don't get a present. I don't want
one
getting a present because they don't feel left out. I don't want to start that whole thing.
Well, I mean, our boys, their birthdays are literally 2 years and 9 days apart. So there's
a month between mine.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
Don't start that.
I'm taking the boys. I don't know what I'm doing with them tomorrow. I think we're going to go Pokemon hunting and we're going to play Star Wars Lego. Because they've not played it all week and they've been very good. And we are going to watch I think we're on Harry Potter number 6 or 7.
Oh, they get scary now, don't they?
I don't know. And then Sunday we're going to this, I don't know what I don't really know what it is, like a relaunch for the Beano.
Do you want an extra one? My eldest would love that.
No, it's VIPs, I'm afraid.
She's very important.
Well, to you, maybe, exactly. Lee, Sarah, Sophie, stay there. I will come to you in a bit, I promise. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I'm Ian Lee. We will call you back if you dial that number. This is Talk Radio. Here comes the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Understanding what I need, and it's union, communion, the very best of everything, the best of everything.
I sing a picture in the story of love. A thousand words can never say enough. I know your history can turn on us. Let's start a chapter,
start a chapter
in the story of love. The story of love. The story of love. The story of love.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I've seen your picture. I've seen your picture.
Now,
I've never said enough.
That. Got it. I know what we're going to do. I know what we're going
to
do.
What are we going
to
do?
It's a very, very long fade out.
Mm-hmm.
That fade out started about 15 seconds ago.
They're walking away from the microphone
that
slowly.
Is OTT, one of the great forgotten boy bands. They were slaughtered in the boy band war of 1993. And that song is absolutely brilliant. I love. Is it? I'm going to say 93. Am I right when I say 93? Sure. Why not? And it's a brilliant song. And I'm going to get OTT in this studio one evening to perform it. That's what we're going to do.
Wow.
Hey, I tell you who's coming in. Right. Name won't mean a lot to a lot of you, but Luke Haynes is going to come on. Who he? Right. Well, he had a hit. With Black Box Recorder, it's just the facts of life, there's no master plan. And he was in the Auteurs, and he's been in loads and loads of bands, right? He's got a new song out, which is brilliant. And it's brilliant. I heard it tonight. It's really good. Maybe I'll play that later. But he's also written these brilliant books, Britpop, My Part in Its Downfall, and Post Cool is an album by Dennis Licoria. Post Everything, I think, and it's brilliant. It's about him almost becoming famous around about the same time that Oasis and Cooler Shaker and The Verve and all these other bands were kind of taking off. And it is the sweariest, most honest book I've ever read. It's just brilliant.
I need to have a look at that.
Yeah, no, I'll bring them in. They're such good reads. And for ages, people have been saying, we should get Luke Haynes on. And I've wanted to get Luke Haynes on, and I've kind of... And then I noticed yesterday he'd started following me on Twitter. And I went... He's the one that wrote a brilliant review of the Monkees' new album. He wrote the best review. Here we go. Have a listen to this, right? It's quite sweary, so I shall have to censor it.
Just use a different word.
I will do. I'll use flip, shift and crumb.
Okay.
I shall not mince my words. Along with the first four Velvet Underground albums, Atlantis by Donovan and seasons 2 and 3 of Minder, I consider the Monkees to be the apex of human achievement. Imagine my excitement when I found out that by several degrees of separation, I'm actually in the Monkees. I recently guested on the forthcoming offering by my estimable rock and roll friend John Moore from the Jesus and Mary Chain, along with drummer to the stars Brian Young, who I now find out also happens to be on Traps duties with everyone's favourite proto-post-postmodern avant-garage boy band, the Monkees. The mother flipping Monkees. So my first thought when approaching this new album by my new bandmates is, boys, don't flip this up or it's going to be bad for all of us. Happily, on Good Times, the Monkees' first album in 20 years, Mickey Dolenz, Peter Tork, The Nez and dear departed Davy Jones, don't flip it up big time. If ever a record is not flipped up big time, it's this. And he goes on, it's just, the way he writes is just hilarious. I think he's brilliant. Anyway, I sent him a message saying, thanks for the follow. Do you fancy coming on the...
the flipping show, you flipper.
Yeah. And he's always slagging off Noel Gallagher, which I think is very funny. Sarah Sophie, sorry for that. Yes, is it a weird show tonight, Sarah Sophie? People on Twitter saying it's a really good one. People whose opinion I greatly respect. I don't feel I've quite got the vibe yet, but you know, It don't matter.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Hey, thanks for your goodies. I meant to thank you on Twitter, but then I was too bloated on all the chocolate and the sweeties that you sent. So thanks for those.
It's okay. You're welcome.
I was disappointed they hadn't been spiked with LSD.
No, we tried them all and nothing.
Literally nothing at all. But that's very kind of you. Thank you very much. And dear listener, we won't be eating food sent in by any other listener. It's just that we've been to Sarah Sophie's house. We could point the finger if one of us died. So, but thank you very much. How are you doing, Sarah Sophie? You all right?
I'm good, yeah. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm tired and I've got a busy weekend, but I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Kath?
Fair to middling. I'm absolutely shattered today. Shattered.
You were producing George Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
It was quieter than this. I was quieter than this.
Yes.
I had to sit in there and be good. Very interesting man.
He's good. I like George. George is on Fridays, 7 till 10,
but,
the warm-up for this.
With it's a long time. It's a long time to concentrate, 3 hours.
I mean,
I barely manage it on these nights.
What you're saying is you don't concentrate on this show. What?
No, not while I'm talking.
What the heck?
Quite clearly.
Anyway, what you got for us?
I noticed you're on a bit of a documentary kick lately.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a one called Dear Zachary. Have you heard of it?
Well, this really is part of the zeitgeist at the moment, because every day I'm getting 3 or 4 or 5 people saying I should watch Dear Zachary.
No way.
Yeah, no, everyone keeps saying, you've got to watch Dear Zachary. I thought I'd seen it, but I think I'm thinking of a different film. It's about a guy writing a letter to his son or something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of like the subtitle of it. I would say I watched it about 8 years ago, not knowing anything about it going into it. And I think that's the best way to approach it.
Is it going to make me sob my heart out?
8 years later, it sticks with me. It's so vivid in my mind. Like, it's just... It's got an 8.6 on IMDb.
Wow.
But I'm surprised that a lot of people are recommending it, because I feel like it's still quite underground in terms of most documentaries.
Maybe they've just popped it on Netflix. It tends to be when something pops up on new on Netflix, then word gets around. I mean, that's how I found Who Took Johnny, is it popped up as something I hadn't seen, and it was being pushed. So are we keeping you awake, Kath?
I'm really tired.
Hey. I know. Why don't you go home early?
No. What, about 20 minutes early?
Okay.
That's the plan.
Do you know what, Sarah Sophie? I'm going to watch that, probably not this weekend, because it's quite a busy weekend, but I'm going to watch that next week, I think.
Okay. There's another thing I noticed on Netflix, or just got added this week, was a film called Ark, A-R-Q, and it sounds as though it is very up your street.
Up the old Strasse. Ark, what is that about?
I'm going to try and read what it says about it on IMDb.
Get 6.5. That's all right. 6.7 is good.
Okay.
Trapped in a lab and stuck in a time loop. Oh, I'm in.
Whoa.
A disoriented couple fends off masked raiders. Well, if it's wearing a mask, it'll be them.
Oh, if don't ruin it.
Well, no, but if it's...
always.
If they're fending off masked raiders in a time loop, then it'll be them in the mask. Sorry, guys. While harbouring a new energy source that could save humanity. Let's have a little look at the trailer, because this sounds... hang on a minute. It's the trailer. Here we go. Shh, 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 shh. Two people in bed. Feverish. The clock just jumped. This looks like the best film ever made. Right, two people with masks burst in. I guarantee that's them.
I don't know. I followed you.
No one followed you, Ren. What do you want?
The Ark. It's what they're after.
It's them. It's them.
What to do?
You don't know what you're doing.
Whoa! Yeah, that looks wicked! Have you seen? There's a really good film. I can't think what it's called, right? It's, these people discover that in the flat opposite theirs, there's a machine, a giant camera that takes a picture of 24 hours in advance. 24 hours, the next day's, it takes a picture of the next day.
Oh.
Okay. At 8 p.m. every night, it prints a picture of what's going to be in their window at 8 p.m. the next night. Is that is good? That I can't.
Wow,
think
that's that does sound good.
In their window.
Yeah, in their window. So they but they break into the house and they find this machine. They go, "What's this machine?" And they notice all these pictures and they see all these pictures of their house. Right?
Oh, through their window, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, through their window. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But enough good.
So it's like a. Like a futuristic peeping Tom.
It's a predicto perv.
A predicto perv.
Yeah, yeah. It's a predicto.
But you can't
perv.
Remember the name of it.
Predicto perv.
It's called someone. One of the army of listeners on Twitter will tell me the name of that film. John says George is a fanny. No.
You're rude.
No, don't know. Oh, my sister's telling me she filmed OTT in a swanky hotel for Disney Club. They were wearing fluffy bathrobes.
Of course they were.
OK, well, we'll find the name of the film, Sarah Sophie, and we'll make sure we share it.
OK, just before I go, I just wanted to ask you, you used to work at HMV,
yes,
like I did.
Yes.
And did you ever play the game of when a customer came in and we had customers come in and say, oh, do you have that album with that song? And would kind of sing maybe like a 20-second snippet really badly of the song. And then the member of staff, i.e. me, would go, no, sorry, I don't recognise that. I'll just go and get another member.
Oh, you bring an audience.
And get another member of staff. Yeah, and so it's who gets the most members of staff.
Wow.
So you would have like a chain of about six going, no, I don't know that song. Wait there, I'll just get the manager.
Oh, that's
brilliant. The winner I had about six. That was my winning total.
Oh, that is brilliant. No, I never played that. What the game I used to play was I developed this skill where I could be behind the counter with, like, you know, colleagues either side of me, and someone would come and buy a CD, and I'd go, that's $11.99, you twat. And I would say it at such a level that the person with the CD couldn't hear it, but the people next to me, it would sound really clear to them. And they would burst into laughter, and they'd go, yes, how do we do that? And I got quite sweary, you know. And but the people, the customers never heard me. But I didn't play that. That was a good one. Well, it's Time Lapse is the film. Thank you, Doc Talk. First person to tell me that. Thank you, Sarah Sophie. Always a pleasure. 0844 499 1000. And for those wondering, we did the show from her house once. Imagine. Lee, you'll be next. Then it's Jonathan. And then it could be you, dear listener. 0844 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, Lee.
Hello.
Hey, Lee. How you doing, man?
Hey, hip.
Whoa. Hey, cramming them in.
Any hips?
Pip.
So I just wanted to say I'm schizophrenic. So what would you say to my voices?
What do you mean? What would I say to your voices?
What would you say to them?
When?
No, right now.
Well, what are they saying to you right now?
We love Ian Lee.
I would say that you really are nuts.
No, what would you say to them?
Well, I don't know in what context I would be speaking to them.
They're very hostile.
Well, it would probably not be in my place for me to speak to them.
Well, I would love you to speak to them. I would love it.
Well, I'm not going to speak to them. Well, I don't know. Am I speaking to them now?
Yes, they can hear you.
Well, but I would rather speak to you, Lee.
Well, I'm speaking, and I love you. I love your show. I've been listening for the last couple of months.
And I'm glad. I don't know. You've
tuned in radio.
You've called. You've called before, and I'm glad that you're listening. I'm glad. I just don't feel. I don't want to encourage those voices.
Well, they're there, so you may as well encourage them.
But if they're hostile. I don't want to encourage a hostile.
They love people.
Hmm?
They love people.
They love people. What are their names? Have they got names?
Richard.
Yep.
Is one.
Mm-hmm.
And the others are mainly people that I've met in my life.
Oh, okay. So you're aware that they're not. You're aware that these voices aren't real. You're well enough to know these voices aren't real.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, you say kind of. What does that mean? That's interesting.
It means I'm medicated.
Right.
And I've learned to control them.
So when you're medicated, you're aware that they're not real people speaking in your head and that what they're saying...
I think they are.
You do think they are?
Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, it's quite interesting, yes.
Well, I think it's interesting. You might find it boring. Do you ever get... apart from the medication, what helps you?
I get support twice a week.
Yeah, and what? How does that support manifest itself? What do you get with that support?
A couple of women come round and see me twice a week.
Yeah,
and they spend an hour with me. Like today, for example, I had a woman come round to see me.
And what do you talk about?
We talk about my life and what I'm going through, and we go to the shop and we buy shopping for Mazda.
And how are you finding that? Does that help?
Yeah, it definitely helps. I like the company.
And that's an hour twice a week, so 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound a lot, does it? Would you
it's
like
not
more?
A lot, but it's enough.
Yeah. And have you got?
Don't be afraid, Ian Lee.
Sorry?
Don't be afraid.
Of what?
Of my voices.
I'm not afraid of your voices, are you?
No.
Well, the voices aren't going to hurt me, so I'm not afraid.
They're not going to hurt me either.
I can't hear them, so, you know, don't bother me in the slightest. I just wondered if you had any other people in your life that you spoke to, or if it was just these 2 one-hour windows a week.
Well, every month I go to visit my brother in Gloucester.
Yeah.
And I spend an hour with him.
And is it wet in Gloucester?
It's very rainy, yeah.
Was it Dr. Foster went to Gloucester in a shower of rain? He stood in a puddle, went up
I
to his
you,
middle.
Lee. I think you're great.
He stood in a puddle that went up to his middle. I mean, that's a terrible line. Even as a kid, I thought, well, that's a stinky, stinky line. A puddle that went up to his middle? Surely you can say
that
puddle.
Sounds like a load of nonsense to me.
But yeah, he stood in a puddle and was in such a muddle. There you go.
Yeah, true.
And do you what do the voices say to you? What does Richard say to you?
That I'm a prick.
Yeah. Well, are you?
No.
Okay, good. You don't know. Are there moments or periods when you can shrug off what they say?
There are periods when we have great dialogue.
Oh yeah.
We have great conversations.
And what do you talk about?
Science.
Yeah.
The universe.
Yeah. You know, in some cultures in history, you would be considered a great wise man. It's true.
Yeah.
I can't name any specifics off the top of my head, but in certain,
I know what you're talking about, though.
In certain cultures, in certain parts of history, you would be considered a great wise man. Steady on. What's your language, Lee? I know you were.
Sorry.
Yes, that's all right.
I apologise.
I'm not telling you off.
I believe in God.
Well, even Christians can be arseholes. So just, you know, watch. Just watch your language. But you just know that you're not well. Do
no,
you?
I'm not well, but I believe in God.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's an ironic statement.
Well, you know, whatever works for you, brother, whatever works for you.
But I'm a big fan of your radio show, and I'd like you to know that.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. It means a lot. Thank you.
Okay.
Nice one, Lee. Have a good night, mate.
Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't think I've ever spoken openly with a schizophrenic.
That you know of?
That I know of. No, but I mean, and specifically asked about what it feels like. And I guess the answers you'll get will depend on the time of day and whether they've just taken the medication or whether they took it 12 hours ago or whether they've forgotten to or whether... 2 hours a week... Doesn't sound like a lot, does it, of support? I'm guessing I make up that's a social worker or maybe a district nurse or something. From mental health team, of course, it'll be. That doesn't sound a lot, does it?
No.
For someone, and he said, you know, he's called in a couple of times and he sounds, you know, pretty with it. But it's sad, isn't it? Not just mental health, but in all kinds of what's the phrase? Not care in the community, but just outpatients and things like that. There doesn't really seem to be that much help. It's bare minimum, isn't
contact
it?
Contact visits.
Bare minimum. You get an hour. A woman comes around for an hour and you sit and chat. I mean, that's great, brilliant. But, you know, so you get that on a Monday and a Friday. What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Exactly.
Things in my mum are still happening. Mm. They're still happening in that because... we kicked up a stink, me and my sister. The home got in touch with us and said, "Oh, we didn't know that the council had made their decision. We went; they gave us their price, we gave them our price, and we were open for haggling." didn't quite say that, but that was the point.
But no haggling happened.
No haggling happened. And I was like, right. Well, you were there when I took one of the phone calls, biting my tongue. So I'm still expecting it to get moved out, but it's being talked about without our input again. So we'll see where that goes. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, after midnight, we'll take calls straight to air for about half an hour or so. And then we've got the interview with Hunter Davis, which is delightful. And it will probably be our last Beatles interview for a while until we get Giles Martin, which I think we're getting fobbed off there. But it'll be our last Beatles specific interview for a while, because I know we've gone quite Beatles heavy, but there is this new film out, and of course this Hunter Davis book.
He was so charming. But all the way through it, I was thinking, I wonder what biscuit that is.
Yeah.
And doesn't he sound like Dennis from Dunstable?
He does. He's 80 years old, yeah. You know. He's 80 years old. Did you bleep the swearing? Okay.
Which...
What John Lennon said about his book was bullsh.
Oh, that's all right, isn't it?
Is it?
I'll go and bleep it.
I think bleep the bullshine. But yeah, John Lennon said that his book was bullshine. And what was brilliant...
So that swearing was yours?
Yeah. But then what was brilliant was where he went, yeah, I know, he said that, so I phoned him up. I said, I phoned him up and I said, what are you talking about, John? You were there. If anything, I've censored it. I took out the groupies to not embarrass you. And I took out the swearing to not embarrass Aunt Mimi. Brilliant. How many people can say John Lennon slagged him off, so they phoned them up? 0844 499 1000. Jonathan, stay there. Come to you after this.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. This is the last call we've got lined up on the switchboard. So if you're kind of thinking that you want to come in and come on the show, now would be an excellent, excellent time for you to call in. Jonathan.
Hip, hip, hip.
It actually says on the screen, Jonathan, just so you know, Jonathan brackets not the racist one. So we know we know what we're getting with you.
Well, after yesterday, I'm also not a puppy.
No, you're trying to temper your speech now, but you are, when people meet you, you are like an excitable little puppy. And that's not a bad thing. It's a nice thing.
I don't know. It's just very different to how I am normally. I'm normally quite grumpy and kind of sitting back and be like,
I can't imagine you being grumpy at all, Jonathan. Oh, I just saw a number flash up on my screen for a second, then it went. And do you know whose number that was?
The other Jonathan?
It was from Maidstone in Kent.
Ooh.
Just for a second, and then it went away. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, James Whale's on next week, which is exciting. Jonathan, what you got for us?
Yeah, I think a gaming event would be a really, really fun idea. I'd like to beat you at games to prove I'm not a puppy.
Well, I would destroy you at games. I'm rubbish at games. I only play Rainbow Six and Halo Wars, both very, very old games. I talked to John the other day, about the possibility of hosting a gaming event. I just don't quite know how I'd make it work.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And, what would it be? It's not going to be PC or Mac. It's going to be Xbox or PlayStation. I just don't know really. I know it's really niche as well, but I'm not worried about the nicheness of it. We get 30, 40, 50 people turn up. Beautiful. But I just wouldn't know. We'd want a big screen, and would we be playing FIFA and playing Knockout? I don't know how, would we all be online playing, I don't know how we'd make it work, to be honest. So it's an idea that's percolating. Boy, was I disappointed when, maybe only in the last couple of years, I learned that it wasn't percolating, it was percolating.
Percolating.
It
sounds wrong.
It does sound wrong. I always thought it was percolating, but it's not. It's percolating, I think.
What does it even mean? I've not used that word.
Well, when your coffee percolates, I think.
So when it just kind of bubbles.
Yeah,
along?
When it bubbles, percolates. Have I got that perco? Yeah, percolation. Yeah, it's when it bubbles, basically. You've got the coffee filter in, and the water passes through the filter. That's it percolating. Not percolating, it's percolating.
I will never use that word. I also don't drink coffee, so I don't know why we've got it.
Well, you should start using that word because it's a good word. But anyway, it means bubbling away. So basically, yes, the idea of having a gaming event is percolating in the back of my brain. And I need to blag an Xbox off someone. Who do I blag an Xbox off of for my own personal Xbox collection?
Bill Gates hasn't got any anymore.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. Oh, well. Look, people are saying... two people have mentioned to me today... the phenomenon of when of being cut off from this show, right, when they phone in. And everyone gets cut off at some point. I'm going to cut you off in a bit, Jonathan, but you know it's coming, right?
Yeah.
But what I tend not to do, and some people take it personally, what I tend not to do is go, OK, Jonathan, well, have you said enough? Yeah? Have we finished? OK, well, thanks for calling in. I'm going to hang up now. Bye. And doing that, I tend to try and make it a bit smoother. And what I will do is, I'm not going to do it now, but I would fade that person down, and I would gently touch the screen that cuts them off. So it may seem they are being cut off mid sentence, but to the listener, it's a smooth, seamless transition from caller to caller. But people don't take it personally, people, when you get cut off, basically.
Yeah, it can happen, but I mean, it's a phone-in show. You have to get cut off.
He's right, actually. Yeah. Let's do this. Let's do this thing. Yes, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Nigel.
Lovely to talk to you. I want to thank you for putting those films on YouTube of the show of you being filmed in the studio. Did you remember that one where you went off for a wee while I took over the show?
I do remember it. Matthew Stevenson puts those up. Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
So I've just found them now. I didn't know they were on there. They're on YouTube now. So that's brilliant. I it's good how you've got the camera in the studio as well.
That's just my telephone. Isn't it good? Aren't things clever these days?
It's a nice clear picture.
It's very clear. It. Yeah, it's very bit dark tonight because I've got all the lights off, but I quite like that. So
when you've got a guest in the studio, people can actually see the guest as well.
Yeah, when we had Scroobius Pip in the other night, people could see him. I'm hoping I can persuade Luke Haynes to come in the studio.
And if I came to the studio, people could see me live as well.
Well, they could do if you came to the studio.
Well, I'd love to.
And
maybe in a later date. I don't live far away. So.
Well, Maidstone in Kent is quite a distance.
Well, not really. It's only...
Are you talking to me now? Because you had a cob on the other night.
Not really. No. I want to thank you for everything you've done with the records and stuff anyway.
It's my pleasure. But you slammed the phone. We thought we'd upset you.
Because I don't know now. I think my mum was talking to me and I didn't know which way to go.
Oh, well, you got a bit flustered.
I didn't know what I was doing.
No, well, who does?
There was nothing. I didn't row with you or anything. Nothing to row over.
Good. Well.
But I'm so pleased about everything all round, you know, and especially finding these videos of me talking on the radio as well to actually listen to them again.
It must be a dream come true for you. Well, I'm glad it's brought you some pleasure.
Yeah. I've been speaking to Dan on private, and everything's going great at the moment.
Okay.
With the music and stuff.
Beautiful. Well,
we no need to worry.
No.
And it's been over a week now since that's been it's a week now since that's been released.
I won't find out. The thing with iTunes is it's really, really slow, so I might not find out how many we've sold for 2 or 3 months.
Well, it doesn't mean.
And it doesn't matter. We're going to have sold about 150. And any more than that, and I'd be very, very surprised. We're going to get about £20 each.
Right.
And that's all right, isn't it?
You're getting more and more famous, though.
Yeah,
money's not everything.
No, fame is. Fame is more important than money, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you get famous, you can get on TV and radio, anything.
Well, if you get famous, you can get stuff for free.
Mm.
So you don't need money.
No.
That's the beauty of it.
I bet a lot of my fans would like to see me live in the studio, wouldn't they? And I could sing as well.
Well, not this studio, they won't. nice try.
Yeah, but anyway, so what would you like to talk about?
I don't think...
Should we do... Miley! Should we sing?
No. No, that was... Someone's had some happy pills today.
Do you think he was angling for an invitation? It's very subtle.
To what? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, good.
I don't really like having people in the studio, as you know, and even with guests, even when they're here, they're lovely. I mean, Stephen Page and Scroobius Pip, it was a joy. But
Adam Buxton stunk the place out with his
Adam Buxton was that was what outrageous. Swine. Yeah, but the anticipation of people coming into my space, and if you listen very carefully to the shows when the guest is in the studio as opposed to on the phone, I am a little bit more excitable, and I don't like isn't it's not a good thing. And I'm a little bit more trying to please and people pleasing a bit more. And I don't like it. I don't like that. And I'm like that at the start of phone interviews for the first few minutes. And then it kind of dies down. But when people are in, I'm too keen. That's it. I'm too keen and eager. And I had a lovely dream last night. I was getting drunk. It's nice. 12 years on Monday, isn't it? 12 years. No booze, which is exciting. So I think after 12 years, you're allowed to go and get absolutely steaming.
No.
I think you're allowed to get steaming and have a spliff. I think.
No.
I'll ask the guys. We'll check that out. 0844 499 1000. Tris, Ty and Paul will come to you after this.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Let's go to Ty. Evening, Ty.
Hey, Ian. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, mate. How you doing?
I'm good. First time caller, so be gentle if you will.
Well, it depends. If you imagine, right, if that was the rule, you had to be gentle to first time callers. But then the person came on was a massive, massive racist.
So you had to say thanks very much for your call. Great effort.
I agree with you. I do think that some of those black guys really do push it a bit. And as for those gays, yeah. No, you're right. We don't want them here.
Call us again.
Thanks for calling. We'll see how you're going to get treated the same as everyone else, you little sausage.
Well, I've got to follow Nigel now as well, haven't I?
Well,
yeah, what are you going to sing?
I'm not singing anything. But it's funny you should mention the racist thing, because that's one of my 5 points that I want to talk to you about, if that's okay.
Okay, five. Well, five seems a lot. Let's see how we get. We may not get all of them. Let's see how we get on.
I'm going to whip through them. It's like the Big Mac of negative and minus sandwiches.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to whip through them, and they're completely random, just based on, you know, on the last few weeks and a long-time listener. So, I'm going to start off quickly.
Here we go. You've already wasted a minute telling me how you're going to start off quickly.
This is one for Kath.
Go on.
Kath, a little bit disappointed in the old podcast these days. You ruined my routine.
Whoa.
I used to listen to the first hour, get the last hour on the podcast.
Yeah.
Suffered missing out the middle hour. Yeah. Now she's doing it all kind of best of. So I'm getting some repeats.
Yeah, tough.
A little disappointing. Cap.
Well, two words, tough, and one that rhymes with bitty. Because, do you know what? Sometimes the last hour isn't the best stuff. So
I know, but then I've got 2 hours out of the three, you see.
Well, or you can listen again.
Yeah, that's true.
You can listen again online. Yeah. We're still kind of tinkering. Initially, it was the first hour. Then we moved to the last hour. And then the podcast is now best bits. And it's to keep you guys on your toes. It'll change again, probably, and that's fine. But we also, if we have a big guest, that goes out as a separate podcast. And you know, we'll do little bonus ones like the Noel Edmonds dog. And here's a question, Ty.
Yeah.
Were you more... This is actual bit of customer feedback now. Were you more inclined to download the official Talk Radio podcast when I did an introduction and an outroduction for them, or does it not make that much difference to you?
No, it makes no difference.
Right,
that's what we thought, didn't we?
Yeah, that's what we thought.
It makes no difference to me.
All right.
I'll have it either way. So, shall I move on then? I don't want to waste my time. If I'm going to get a limited time, because I've got a couple of other things I want to cover.
Well, you've got four other things, apparently.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of screen things for you.
Yes.
First one is Film Ring.
Yes.
Right, I love Film Ring.
Yeah.
And I finally caught up on the Film Ring with the last one you did.
Who Took Johnny, yeah.
Yeah.
What a film.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And I also managed to do Kung Fu Elliot as well. But so it turned me on to watching documentaries, like mad documentaries. So I've been watching a bunch of them. And I wanted to know whether you've come across this one called Welcome to Leith.
Yeah, we watched that one. That's a brilliant film about the racists that try and move into a tiny little town that's got about 30 people in there.
Yeah.
And they try and buy up all the property and they're full on Nazis. Yeah, it's an incredible film, that.
It was. And the way they kind of had that red sign, Welcome to Leith, that sort of throwback to the Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah. Which Clint Eastwood movie?
The High Plains Drifter, when he goes in and there's a sign that says Welcome to Hell.
Oh,
Hell.
Oh no, I don't remember that. Is it a cowboy film?
Yeah.
No, I never liked the cowboy films.
Well, Welcome to Lead Sign is a right throwback.
There's
to that, to
what's
that movie.
What's the Clint Eastwood film? Right, it's a really obscure film. I don't think it's Pink Cadillac. Pink Cadillac was always, if you hired a video in the '80s, there would always be a trailer on there for the Clint Eastwood film Pink Cadillac. I don't think anyone's ever seen it.
No,
there's a Clint Eastwood film where he works in a circus. Right, and it's got a line. I don't remember anything about the film, but there's one line in it that I always quote to kids. Right,
Bonko Billy, is it?
It might be right, but there's these kids like just dicking around. Right, and he goes, "You kids, why aren't you at school?" And they go, "Because it's Saturday, Mister." And he goes, "Well, you should be at school anyway." And I do that when I do it on the phone sometimes. If you hear me say that to a kid in the middle of the, phoning in at 11 o'clock, why aren't you at school? Because it's 11 o'clock at night. Well, you should be at school anyway. In the summer holidays.
The 11-year-old you had on before.
Yeah. She was drunk. Mm. I do it a lot in the school holidays. And now you've heard where that shtick comes from. You're spotted at school. Why aren't you at school? Well, because it's the school holidays, mister.
When I lived in Spain, there was a little village priest that used to say that to me every day. And I was like 25.
But if anyone knows what that film is, well, good for you. It's quite a boring film, I remember. What was the other? Clint Eastwood did some really boring films. They always do these films, actors, when they've done action movies. And then they want to prove they can act. And he did a film where he was a country and western singer, but he really sang it, and he's not a very good singer. That's the problem.
That rings a bell, actually.
Didn't he sing in the Lee Marvin?
He sang in the Lee Marvin film. Follow that star? No, Lee Marvin says, "I was born under a wandering star." But he also played in this thing, and I remember at the end he coughed up. Like, the best Clint Eastwood film, of course, is...
Man with No Name.
No.
Go on.
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
No.
Every Which Way But Loose.
Incorrect data. Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. Him and Jeff Bridges. Beautiful.
Bridges.
Yeah, beautiful film.
Oh, Good, the Bad and the Ugly. That closing scene with the three of them. Him and Lee Van Cleef.
The spaghetti westerns are terrible.
Oh, I
remember trying to watch them as a kid thinking I should really like these because I'm a boy. But they were rubbish.
My granddad used to like westerns. He'd watch them and go, "That was great, that. Not a woman in it."
I love that stuff.
They're rubbish.
Oh. Well, I'll let you off.
Point number three.
Is that only two?
Yeah.
All right, so the other thing you said the other day...
Your third and final point.
Oh, shit, I'm going to have to narrow it down then.
You're going to have to nail it down.
Okay.
Come on, you can do it, man. You've had a good crack of the whip. You can do it.
I was going to say something nice about you, but I'll skip it and I'll move on for a recommendation.
Yes.
You can say the nice thing at the end. I'll let you.
No, we don't need a nice... We don't need a nice thing.
Dag.
What?
Dag. Heard of it?
Dag?
Dag. D-A-G. Norwegian comedy, subtitled... tucked away somewhere on Sky Arts, if you've got that. I think you'd love it.
Ty, thank you very much indeed. I haven't got Sky Arts anymore, but I was always a big fan of the Sky Arts output. They showed some cracking stuff on Sky Arts. Tris!
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. It was good, Ty. It was a good... 5 points is a lot of points.
Yeah, he needs to narrow himself
down.
Yeah,
you can't have 5 points. You can call in on Monday, Ty, and we get the other 2 points. It's beautiful.
There's something quite sweet about first-time callers. They've been preparing all week, haven't they?
And listen to you old-timer! Listen to you! Please. Well, there's something sweet about these virgin callers. I love the way they're all prepared.
I'll do the director's commentary on the next podcast if you want.
Yeah. There must be a way. I wish they utilised the red buttons more. And press your red buttons now. I remember me offering. I think it was Sky. It must have been Sky. I said to Sky, I think, you should let me have the red button when football's on, so that it's me doing the commentary. And they said, you don't know anything about football. I said, yeah.
Exactly.
That'd be the thing. Mm-hmm. And it'll be me going, right, right, that's Rooney. I've got him. Is that Rooney? No, he's black. That one's... right, I've got Rooney. He has just got the... And I'd be doing that for the... And I said, I'll do it for free. I said, come in and I'll do it for free. And they said no.
It's as if they want to be, I don't know, good.
That'd be nice.
I like to give my punditry on...
punditry?
I can't say that.
Puppetry, the puppetry of the penis.
That's the one.
Yeah.
On football by telling anyone who's into it that all they need to do is score one more goal than the other team. And
for me,
mathematically, that works out.
Yeah.
If you always score one more than your opponent, then you're always going to win.
Yeah.
Yep. That's... Whenever I watch, I'm just waiting for the Rabona so I can say, Rabona!
Sorry?
You're waiting for the what?
What?
Oh, boys. Have you ever seen a Rabona?
Literally no idea what you're talking about. There's a caller there if you want to get it for us, James. Thank you. I think he was watching.
The woman's made this show go downhill.
Yeah, well, you know, don't worry. Yeah. We can turn it around. What you got for us, Tris?
You were talking about Pete Townsend, the woman, yeah. You were talking about Pete Townsend last night.
The governor.
Solo output.
The governor.
Brilliant, obviously brilliant. I think he's I think he's a genius, actually. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't throw that word around very often. But you're talking about Empty Glass.
Yeah.
And there's one track on there with some dubious lyrics, man.
Rough Boys?
No. And I Moved.
What's so dubious about that? Let's get the lyrics up.
Get them up.
Town.
And just, without saying too much, if you think about his more recent past.
Yeah. All right, yeah. And I Moved. Well, hang on a second. Hang on a minute. Why's my computer gone to cock? Let's see if we can... I know the song you mean. I can't remember the...
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Rough Boys. It's all about him being bisexual and hiring your Ren Boys.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
That's less dubious.
It's a good album. I don't think I've got this on CD. I'm getting this. Here we go.
It's a great album.
I think this is about being a little bit bisexual as well, isn't it?
Well...
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, you're worried it involves children. Here we go. Let's get this.
Will your eyes still smile?
Oh,
who's
not
singing
him.
That?
That's flipping Ginger Ed Sheeran.
Oh, I see what's going on there. I couldn't work it out. Yeah, I moved and his hands felt like ice exciting as he laid me back just like an empty dress. And I moved. But a minute after he was weeping, his tears his only truth. And I moved, but I moved towards him. That doesn't imply rape to me, if that's what you're suggesting.
Really?
Yeah,
tears his only truth.
Oh, mate, come on. Can we be honest here? You've never cried after sex, never. You never, Tris. Really? Come on.
Honestly.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, once.
Yeah. Maybe it was that time. It doesn't imply to me rape. It implies to me. A lot of the album is about him being confused about his sexuality, partly because
definitely his gay period. Yeah.
When Pete Townsend, when Keith Moon died, he kind of descended into drugs and sex and alcohol and stuff like that, became a massive heroin user and all this kind of stuff. Became very confused about what he was in terms of A, a rock star, and B, a sexual human being. And he was off, you know, doing all kinds of bits and pieces. And fair play, he wrote some crap. Rough Boys, I mean, that's a great song.
Yeah, Jules and Jim on there is great as well.
Yeah, and it's a brilliant record. Is that the one that's got, I was digging in the yard today when a letter came from Southampton Way. I keep on working, keep on working. I must admit I was a bit in the red, but if you never have the pleasure, then you might as well be dead. Keep on working, keep on working, keep on working, keep on working.
Wow.
It's good, that one. We'll play that up. We'll play that when we come back from the news.
You've heard his Rough Mix album with Ronnie Lane, I take it.
Yeah, that's quite nice. Is that the one that's got Sheraton Gibson on?
No, that's on Who Came First.
Oh, God. I'm torn now. Do we play Keep On Working or Sheraton Gibson? Let's play Sheraton Gibson. Because that
Sheraton Gibson, obviously.
One of the greatest songs, one of the sweetest sounding songs that hardly anyone's ever heard. It's brilliant. We'll have that. We'll have that, Tris. And I dedicate it to you. It's nice, Sheraton. I'm just sitting in the Sheridan Gibson, playing my Gibson. Oh, it's a great song. Yes, Paul.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you, Paul. What have you got for us, boss?
Oh, not a lot, really. I mean, like, the thing is, I mean, like, I don't actually get to hear your show live. Most of the time I listen to the podcast, and I don't want to bring it down. I'm going to bring it down and bring it up. How's that?
You take us every which way you want to take us.
Well, the first thing is, it's your mum's situation. I was absolutely, when I listened to the podcast the other day, I just can't believe that.
It sucks, doesn't it? It sucks. I'm saying today, you may have missed it today, that there is a little bit more negotiation going on. The care home and the council are talking again, but I'm expecting to get fobbed off completely.
The thing is here, mate, it's like, so if I've got money,
yeah,
I get it ripped off me.
Yeah.
But if I could give that away to my kids or my son or whatever, and then I would be in the situation your mum is now originally.
Well, they're cleverer than that. Like, she couldn't have given the money away, because we looked into it, guys. If she'd have given it away 7 years before she got ill, there's a 7-year window, then yeah. But yeah, basically, if you've got a load of money, you have to spend it all. If you've got no money, you'll get the same treatment as someone who had a load of money, and then the person who had the load of money gets shafted a few years later when all their money goes. That's how it works, unfortunately.
Ian, mate. Honestly, I don't know what to say there, because that is such a big eye-opener, what I've had listening to you with that. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Do I spend my money? Do I give it to my kids? What do I do?
Do you trust your kids?
Yeah, of course I do.
Well, no, some people don't. I would say, I'm when I'm of an age, I'm going to put all my money in my kids' bank account. And
do you know what? After listening to what you and your poor mum's gone through, that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to think,
seriously,
well, there you go, now look after me.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm going to say, look, here's all the money, it's mine, and just hope that in the next 7 years you don't need to go into a care home or something, because otherwise they can take all that money back.
I might sound flabbergasted, because I am, because I can't believe it's how it is.
No, it's insane, man. It's insane.
Oh, mate, I really do feel for you, and I'm thinking,
well, thank you,
Paul. There, for the grace of God, go all of us,
it
mate.
It means a lot to me and my sister, who I know is listening, so thank you, Paul. We've got 60 seconds. You had something else you wanted to say.
Yeah. Nigel from Mason. You know you created a monster yourself, mate. It's your own fault. It's your own fault, mate.
Is it my anyway, fault, Paul, anyway. If I've done it?
Get away from that, right, Quinn. I've got downstairs, I live in a flat, downstairs are playing karaoke.
Yeah.
And they are really worse. And I'm thinking, I know, but a man who can actually produce them.
Well,
I'm really tempted to go down, knock on the door, and keep you on the radio and go, hello, here you go, and you can listen to that.
What song are they murdering at the moment, Paul?
At the moment, he said, I could do anything but love.
Do anything but sing.
Oh, flipping out, Kef, well done, mate. You know it, don't you?
She's sung it a few times.
I won't do that.
She's sung it a few times. Paul, listen, a lovely call, mate. Thank you very much. I've got to go, because we're going up to the news, but I really appreciate you calling. Thank you. Well, we're getting lots of nice callers and lots of people that have only called once or twice or not at all before, which is great. Honey, come to you after this.
Sitting in the Sheraton Gibson, playing my Gibson. And boy, do I wanna go home. Sitting in the Sheraton Gibson, playing my Gibson. And boy, do I feel all alone. In my mind. Thank you.
And boy, do I want to go home. I just had a really uncomfortable feeling then.
What?
We may have just activated the curse. I just felt...
Let's stop talking about him then.
Well, if we... the thing is, if we talk about the curse, that I think that undoes the curse. So I'm really hoping that we... Well, we may have activated the curse, but maybe just by talking about it, we have deactivated the curse. Wouldn't that be horrible if that was tomorrow's news?
Ooh. This is the programme that elderly celebrities listen to hope that they're not mentioned
on. No, we've got a cracking track record for killing
it's
people.
It's bizarre.
Not literally. 0844 499 1000. We'll take calls straight to air if you want to play that. But Honey's been waiting now for 14 minutes, 55 seconds. Yes, Honey?
First of all, don't kill Pete Townsend.
I'm not going to go out after this and drive to Eel Pie Island and attempt to assassinate him.
The thing is, with the curse, it's out of our hands.
Exactly. The dark arts, no master.
Well, I was going to call about our beef, but that song cheered me up, so...
Yeah, you see, Honey's upset because I cut her off the other day.
Mm.
But
No.
Yes.
I had more beef to settle with you, and you cut me off before I got...
So there's double beef.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do not fancy a bit of roast beef now.
I've forgotten about it now.
Oh.
It was something about the lyrics to Sail on Sailor or...
Well, hang on a minute. You've never heard Hey Little Tomboy. Don't call me a plastic
Beach
Boys fan.
Okay, well, I have now.
Yeah, so what? I know all the lyrics to Sail on Sailor.
That was another reason I had beef, because you sent me Hey Little Tomboy, and it seriously made me question whether I should continue being a fan.
That's the one, Kath, that's...
I know which one it is.
But I know all the lyrics to Sail on Sailor now, so I'm still the number one Beach Boys fan.
Well, okay, fine.
Just think we may never get to see the Beach Boys ever again. Did you see them in 2012 when it was all of them?
No.
Plastic. Plastic. I went. Me and my sister went. My sister don't even like the Beach Boys. She hates the Beach Boys. She thinks they're rubbish. And I took her and she sat through it and hated it. But even she was there. She didn't, actually. She really enjoyed it. I
probably would have loved it, to be honest. All of them together.
Bruce Johnson did not look old. He looked like he'd won a competition. But like, it looked like a kid had won a competition to go on stage with the Beach Boys, but the kid couldn't go, so the great-grandfather went instead.
I wish him all the best. He wrote Disney Girls, which is a great song.
He wrote Disney Girls. I write the songs.
And also Deirdre.
Deirdre and Tears in the Morning. Not quite such good songs. What you got for us, honey? Or is it just to say that you haven't got beef with us anymore?
I was kind of going to apologise, but also...
Oh.
I was going to apologise for, keep sending you stuff on Twitter that say that we have beef.
You keep sending me stuff on Twitter saying you've got beef with me. You're hardly the biggest troll that I've got, so I don't...
It is. I don't want to be a troll. I literally just want to talk about music. Like, every time you talk about anyone I like, I'm like, I have to call. Like, you mentioned Paul Simon today, and I was like, yes.
Paul Simon, I went through a big... I went through a big Simon and Garfunkel thing about a year ago, and it's like, how did I not know... You know, I knew the hits, obviously... But how did I not know that that everything they've done is brilliant? Even the rubbish stuff is brilliant.
Yeah, it's so good.
I do wish I had a music show, because it would be great to then go, oh, now, do you know this Paul Simon solo song, but it's got Art Garfunkel on, and I'd play it.
We had that kind of for a while, didn't we?
We did have that.
And it got spoiled.
And we got shafted, yeah.
Aww.
Never mind.
I'm sad I missed it.
Well...
Also, I want to tell you something for my friend.
Yeah?
I have a friend who lives in... Canada.
Uh-oh.
They're French-Canadian.
Yeah.
And they listen to your show every night now.
In French... In whereabouts? Quebec?
I think...
Hey, well, speak to them in French, but you've got to speak to them in Canadian French, Catherine.
Oh, well, that's kind of...
You've got to speak like... It's like 18th century French, isn't it?
Well, no, they just kind of... They've got slightly like Canadian... Well, like an American accent, don't they? Bonjour. I'd say.
They don't say it like
they
that.
They do
no,
talk
they
about it like that.
Don't.
I had to go and interview this guy called Doug McEwen from the Peterborough Pirates.
Yeah.
Right? He was an ice hockey player.
The paedophile pirates.
Peterborough.
Right.
But he couldn't say Peterborough, he said Peterborough.
He said, okay.
Paedophile pirates is something quite different.
Yeah, yeah. They're fun. It's
frowned
fun
upon,
on the outside.
Frowned upon.
Yeah.
So I used to go and see him, and he tried speaking French to me once, and it was hilarious.
Really?
Yeah, because they've got a proper funny accent. But fair play to them for keeping it going.
My sister's furious at me. She says, I never said I hated the Beach Boys. Yes, you did. And you also said... No, she didn't at all. Honey, thank you for that. I'm going to cut you off. Is that okay? Good.
Oh, beef.
Oh, there we go.
Fresh beef.
We're going to take calls straight to air. Line one, you're on the wireless. Yeah,
no, we're losing you.
Yep, literally couldn't hear any of that. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello?
Oh.
Is that me?
Unfortunately, line two, yes.
It's Rob Benet, driving away your blues. Sponsored by Barry's Motors.
Are you saying,
how are we?
Are you saying blues there or booze?
Blues, driving away the blues.
Because okay. if you can't drive while you're on booze...
No, that's illegal.
You two, I tell you, you're both...
Oh. Unbelievable.
You can shove it up your... You and... in the bushes, all over your...
Oh.
Thank you very much indeed. It's such a dangerous game to play.
Do you know what? There's not enough delay in the world for what I wanted to say to you.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
You need to
go and stand somewhere we can hear what you're saying. You'll have heard those words on Periscope. Well done, you. That's why it's worth watching. Line two, you're on the wireless. Oh, no, you're not. Let's try again. Line two, you're on the wireless.
It's the remix to Ignition. You got fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, girl, everybody. Oh.
You balls that up, didn't you?
Oh, rats.
Got the words. Well, got the words wrong from the off. It's the remix to Ignition, hot, hot and fresh from the kitchen. My mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing.
Sipping on coke and rum, it's like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have me some fun.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Well, it's like murder, she rolled, the moment that she's taken off the cold. And then it gets a little
and
bit...
And so on.
And so on and so forth. Oh, wait, what's the number? 0844-499-1000. Call straight to air.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
People like, man. You can go to my website, dear listener, if you want. I'm picking various bits and pieces and posts and podcasts and things to illustrate there. If you go to ianlee.com, you can have a look. Now that I've remembered, partly because I remembered the password to log in. I could never remember the password, and now I've got it.
Isn't it always one of
it
two?
Is, it is. Well, no, but some. Well, but the thing is, then sometimes you have to have a capital letter. And
yeah.
Then trying all the combinations, and some have the numbers at the end, and some don't have the number. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I've remembered the password to it. I'm staying logged in. I'm not logging out of that page now, so I'm in for good. Call straight to air for another 15 minutes or so, and then we're going to have Hunter Davis. Yes, line one, you're on the wireless.
I'd like to publicly apologize to R. Kelly and any member of his family that might have heard my dismal attempts, and I apologize.
Would you like to apologize to the listeners?
I apologise to the listeners.
Would you like to apologise to
unreservedly.
Catherine? Unreservedly. To Catherine?
I apologise to Catherine Boyle.
Would you like to apologise to me?
Up yours.
Oh, that was... I mean, that really was cold, wasn't it? That was cold.
Gosh.
But I expect nothing less from that woman. She continually phones in, and I expected nothing less.
What's the thing they do? The custard codpiece?
The codpiece. Up your bum hole. Hang on a second. Connor, the thing is, I can block you from the Talk Radio Twitter feed. So
oh, burn.
So don't send rude messages about me. I'll block you.
I got access to the Talk Radio feed. I can block you. I just blocked you. How'd you feel about that? You think I'm no good? You're still listening, you jerk off.
0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. We'll take calls straight to air for the last... we've got another 15 minutes or so of this nonsense. Then it's Hunter Davis. Guests, we need to have another little think around for some guests. That last little mail out was quite productive, wasn't it? We got some great stuff off the back of that. Luke Haynes, I say, hopefully at some point. I need to chase up the Rocking Birds. Got anyone else lined up?
Yeah, PP Arnold, I've been trying to get hold of. She's going to be back October.
Okay.
It's nearly October now.
It's it'll be October next week.
No.
Yeah, nearly Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, God.
If we haven't got anyone else lined up, that's fine. We need to chase up...
I've got a couple in the pipeline.
Noddy Holder we need to chase.
Potentially the Quo.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
They were trying to get us to do an ISDN, and I said, you do know we'll be wanting to do it around, you know, 7:30, 8:00. Yeah. Well, that could be a problem. We go meet them.
I want to go and meet them.
We can go meet them.
I want to go and meet them because I think we get on with the Quo.
Also, three people, you and them two, on the phone's not going to work so well.
No, it doesn't. I tell you, it'd be good. Chaz and Dave as well.
Oh, they'd be great.
They'd be great.
Let's space them out so we don't confuse them with the Quo.
Yeah. Shall I?
We had Chaz Hodges, didn't we, at one point?
Yeah. And they're doing some shows. Let me tweet him now. Chaz Hodges. Oh, his name's like Chaz and Hodges, isn't it? There you go. Hi, Chaz and Hodges. Any chance I could come and interview you and Dave for the show? There we go. That's that sorted.
Do that.
And that, dear listener, is what our job entails. Going, who
thinking
do
we, of people that we like.
Going, who do we like? Oh, yeah, I'll tweet them. Can you find it? Oh, I've got an email on this website. We'll send an email. And that's what we do. And, you know, I sort of know Chaz a little bit through Paul Garner, who may well be watching. Paul Garner's Chaz's son-in-law. He's married to Chaz's daughter, the delightful and very talented Kate Garner, who's also a singer. And I don't think I knew this when I was around Paul's house one day. He said, oh, do you want to, the father-in-law's in the living room. Do you want to come and meet him? I went, no. Don't be rude, but not really. He said, no, I think you do. I said, boy, I don't want to be rude, but what am I going to say to him? No, come and meet the father-in-law. And it was Chaz. Chaz was sat there. I told you when we went to Paul's son's fifth birthday, the entertainment was Chaz.
Brilliant.
On the old Joanna, playing like, you know, roll out the barrel and stuff like that.
Just, 5-year-olds love that stuff.
Yeah, it was brilliant, but everyone was getting up and having it. All it was, you know, it was Harry's granddad's...
Doing a sing-along,
you know, and we're all there going, all the adults are going, this is flipping brilliant. The kids are going, oh, this is great. His granddad's playing on the piano.
One of the most brilliant Christmas shows I've seen for a long time is have you seen the Chaz and Dave sing-along, the Christmas one?
Yeah.
And it's got like all the EastEnders in it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
They're brilliant. I think they're brilliant. And I think they're best. Their songwriting is up there with Ray Davis of the Kinks. It's kind of like, you know, sort of, it's like folk music, you know. It's telling stories, you know, real stories. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
You.
Unbelievable. Can we cut that off? Sorry. Unbelievable.
Can we block him?
I don't know how that got through because he was blocked. I don't know what happened. The system must have... broken there.
He's got one of them prepaid mobiles, hasn't he?
I think
he's
so.
Professional.
Yeah.
Troll.
Now I know why George... I'm tempted to block the Talk Radio Twitter feed. Did I do the break at 12:15? I did, didn't I? I'm tempted to block Talk Radio Twitter feed.
I'm tempted to block everyone.
Yeah. That was probably John Holmes phoning in, or Sam Delaney. Might have been Julia Hartley Brewer.
Sounded a bit like Julia.
Yeah, making her voice a little higher pitched. 0844... She blocked me on Twitter.
Mm.
That I don't understand. Why would you...
I win, though. Paul Ross has blocked me.
Here we go. If you've been blocked, dear listener, if you've been affected by any of the issues on today's show, there's a brilliant Limmy sketch where he's watching something, a programme, and the credits come up and he's crying. And it comes up saying, if you've been affected by any of the issues on today's show, call this number.
Mm.
And he phones the number and he's crying. He goes... And they go, hello? He goes, yeah, I just... I've been affected by some of the issues on today's show. And they go, okay, thanks for letting us know. Goodbye. They just put the phone down. It's just brilliant. I love Limmy so much. I might have to crack on and have another little... I might have to watch them all again, to be
honest. Just to check.
I tweeted him last night because I couldn't sleep and he was obviously not sleeping. And I said, what you got lined up? You know, and he says, got another book coming out. maybe a little bit of TV. And then he said, F all, really. It must be weird being in that position, you know, where he is famous. I mean, he's just sold out Hammersmith Odeon and the equivalent in, I think it was Salford, he did. Or maybe it was in Manchester itself, I'm not sure. Anyway, but he hasn't got a job.
No.
You know, he hasn't got a job. And I'm sure he'd have got paid well for those gigs. Of course he would. But there were big shows and there were other people involved in it. And he would have had to have paid salaries and stuff. But he hasn't got a job, you know. And you just think he's such a talent. You know, he's like proper unique way of looking at the world. But what's he going to do?
I
think he'll be all right. I'll worry about people like that. But then, you know, that's fine. People have stopped calling in.
They're anticipating the Hunter Davis.
Well,
and they're thinking, has Kath put the sweary one in by accident, well, or has she put the bleepy one in?
Sweary roulette. Have you got both the swears?
He said, that's fine.
That's fine, I know, that's fine.
Because you remember, when we were at the BBC, sugar was right up there.
What?
Sugar. You couldn't say that. That was deemed too rude.
You could say crap.
But sugar was deemed too hard.
But yet Radio 4...
Oh, my. They've been dropping the C-bomb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'll do it at like 2:30 in the afternoon if they got a play on or something. They had the C-bomb at 11:30 in the morning. We read the thing out in the paper the other day. 11:30 in the morning. And it was pre-recorded, I think. Mm. I would have bleeped that, definitely. Wouldn't have let that go out. That was outrageous.
Mm. Don't even get that on Jeremy Kyle.
No. Line one, you're on the wireless. 5-4-3-2-1 by Manfred Mann.
It was an advert, though, for chocolate bar.
But an advert for chocolate bar. But it sounded like John Paul Jones, the lead singer from Manfred Mann. Actually, he's redone the vocals. Another 60s song that was used for chocolate. It was big when we were at school.
Trio.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Ba 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 barber club. You ever that? They were all in court.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they started going, ba 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 bar of club, ba 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 bar of club.
It doesn't really work, does
it? No, it doesn't work on any level whatsoever. Line two, you're on the wireless. Now, it always amazes me. This bit of music has a title.
Yeah, Yakety Sax.
Yakety Sax. And when was this? Because this was before Benny Hill that this music was written. Is that all we're getting?
But it's like...
Oh, this is that Vaughan Williams song.
My soul.
Yeah, it's true. Anything else? No? Okay.
Who's you?
Here we go. This is an interesting tweet. I remember... You've tweeted this to me before, I'm sure, Quadrofini. For some reason, there's conversation going on about people who've blocked people on Twitter. Oh, no, because I started it. That's why.
Crazy reason.
Dolly says, my friend once asked John Cusack to help them for a school essay, and he blocked them because of it.
Gosh.
I've heard that story before. That rings a bell. 0844 499 1000. It feels like we haven't done this for a while. We didn't do this last week. Who knows what we did 2 weeks ago, but for those of you who are kind of new to it, what we tend to do on a Friday for the last hour is call straight to air, where you don't speak to Catherine or James or Ed or whoever it is answering the phone calls. You dial in, a number flashes up on my screen like it does here. I touch the screen and I say, line one, you're on the wireless. And that's what happens. And it can be long, it can be short, it can be, you know, some as big as your head. Someone picked up on... So I do like throwing out little private jokes in the
in the show, which I don't think anyone gets. And what someone heard one of my jokes the other day. It was when we were I don't remember who we were talking to. Don't know, but they were talking about black kids. And I went, black kids, white kids, some as big as your head. And just as a throwaway line, what is that from? That's from I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts, yeah. Isn't it? Black kids, white kids, some as big as your head. And someone picked up it and went, oh, I really liked it when you, I really enjoyed your coconuts reference to black kids,
yeah,
white kids, some as big as your head.
Wanted someone to be a bit racist.
It was someone being a little bit racist. Yeah. But I'm glad they picked up on that. I do feel like sometimes I'm doing like three different shows at once. I'm doing the crazy phoning show, and then I'm doing like something that's a little bit more subversive, and then way, way, way down deep, it's just like this avant-garde noise, white noise, that some people are tuned into, and congratulations. Mm. Time for a break.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Oh, 0844 499 1000. Hunter Davis is coming up very, very soon. Call straight to air in the meantime. Line one, you're on the wireless. Uh-oh. Oh, God. It's so tense. Nope, sorry. I just couldn't get it. Sorry. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Picture this, we were both buck naked, banging on the bathroom floor. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me.
Thank you very much indeed. I enjoy that. That's the Beatles and a Shaggy. Let It Be. Mush up! Mushed up! I like that. It's fun, that. I must get back into the habit of doing this on a Friday, because it's a really nice way of, I think, all of us kind of unwinding. You won't get this anywhere else. It's just a nice way to unwind. The weekend is starting, and the weekend means so many different things for so many different people. And for me, joy of joys, I've got the boys tomorrow, and I've got the boys Sunday morning lunchtime through to the afternoon, which is brilliant because I've not really seen them this week because of work and stuff. So it's going to be it's always challenging, because it's challenging because there's two just balls of energy bouncing off the walls. But they're such charming young men, my boys. It's always a pleasure to spend time with them. Line three, you're on the wireless. I never got the clangers. I always found they just did it recently, didn't they? Again, with I think with Michael Palin. And was it an Oliver Postgate thing? Was he Oliver Postgate or Oliver Southgate? No, Oliver Postgate, I think. And I honestly, I mean, yes, a lot of skill and a lot of work goes into those things. He did Ivor the Engine as well, didn't he? Ivor the Engine, I used to hate that cartoon with a passion. I used to find it just suck the life out of me. But I always found those programmes, like the Trumptons and the Camberwick Greens and the Clangers, I always found them a little bit soulless. Do you know what I mean? And I know that people love them, and they are cited as classics. But I always found them a little bit boring, I guess. I found them boring, really. There were a lot of... We don't normally do the looking back on old kids' TV shows because it's quite a lazy phone-in. But when I think kids' TV shows now are significantly better than most of the rubbish that we used to have. Everyone looks back on old kids' TV shows. Oh, they were great. They were brilliant. Yeah, they weren't. They were rubbish, generally. And the stuff we've got now, trust me, I know, because we don't watch that much at the moment, but we have watched enough of it. It is funny, and it's entertaining, and it's informative. Back in the day, we used to have to sit through rubbish like The Perishers. Jeez, oh, The Perishers. What else? Ivor the Engine. All of that stuff was just so mind-numbingly dull. Awful. I hate all this. Oh, kids' TV back in the day was brilliant. No, it wasn't. Most of it was utter pony. Line one, you're on the wireless. Now. This is the Flumps, yeah? I think this is the Flumps. Interestingly, the Flumps were being mentioned on Six Music today. The Flumps were mentioned on Radcliffe and Maccone today. Now, the Flumps are good. There's only one episode of the Flumps, though, isn't it? It's the one where he gets that bit of tape stuck to his finger. That's the only episode that they ever made. But I'm all for nostalgia, right? But primarily in music, okay? Because TV... I'm old. I'm so old, right? Oh, the 60s and the 70s, man. But I was born in 1973, but I still had at least one grandparent, I think two, great-grandparent, who had an outside toilet. Didn't have a lavvy indoors. Nanny managing, we used to have to go to the lavvy outside. Flipping it. It was horrible. In this weird house in London, which is now probably turning to flats, and each flat is probably worth £1 million each. But we used to have to... that outside toilet was disgusting. There was no light. And spiders. Oh, it was horrible.
Did you have proper toilet roll, or was it the newspaper?
I think it was like school toilet roll, so the tracing paper, I think.
That doesn't do anything, does it?
Well, it's just, you can't... You need a porous material, not a shiny one, basically. Do kids still get tracing paper?
I don't think they do.
They don't, do they?
I think it's against their human rights.
I think that it causes global warming or something. Hey!
ISIL, it was called, wasn't it?
Here's the thing.
Go on.
You know the hole in the ozone layer?
Yeah.
It's closed up.
What?
We fixed it.
That's that sorted then.
We fixed it! The 80s is all about the hole in the ozone layer. And there's another thing.
I drew loads of pictures of that.
Yeah, it's fixed it. And there's another thing, and I forgot to mention this, right? I'm sure I heard this on the radio today, that scientists have found out, if you're stood in front of a mirror, right, mm-hmm. and you've got an itch on your left thigh,
yeah,
if you scratch your right thigh, it'll go on the left.
Scientists found that out, did they?
Yeah, I heard them say that today on the radio.
Have they sorted out, like, all the cancer and all that now?
But that's better than curing cancer.
Well...
But imagine you've got cancer...
And an itch.
Well, that's 50% of your problems instantly solved.
Yeah, fair play.
By doing that. I'm sure I heard that right. And I meant to play the song that a computer had written as well. Computer wrote a song.
Save it for Monday.
Called Daddy's Car. It was big in the news. And I thought, oh, we'll have that. And I forgot to play it. That balls that up, isn't it? Balls that right up. Anyway, dear listener, am I doing an intro into Hunter Davis? So it goes straight into it. Beautiful. Listen, we're going to have a quick break. Then when we come back, I'll be back on Monday at 10. But when we come back, you're going to hear me talking to Hunter Davis, who is 80 years old. He's having his tea. He decides when the interview is over. And he wrote a book about the Beatles in 1968. And he's got a brilliant new book out called The Beatles Book. It's an encyclopedia of all things Beatles.
And you told him the bit he'd missed out.
And I told him the bit that he had missed out.
Late Night Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello, Hunter, can you hear me?
Hi.
Can you hear me, Hunter? Is this loud enough for you?
Yeah, I'm losing my hear. I've got something wrong with my ears.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Can I say, what an absolute... I'm a huge Beatles fan. It is such a thrill to talk to you.
Right.
And I know I've got the Beatles in the book, the encyclopedia in front of me, and we will get on to that. Yeah. I just wondered, how did you end up in the Beatles world? Was it through the Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush book?
Roughly that. I can tell you. We haven't started yet, have we?
Oh, we don't have to. We are recording, but we can keep this off the record if you'd rather.
No, there's nothing off the record.
Go.
So we're recording now.
Yes, we are recording now.
In 1966, before you were born.
Thank you.
67 you were born, wasn't it?
Well, hang on a second. I'm a 70s child, unfortunately. I missed out on all the good stuff.
Anyway, 1966, I did a novel, Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush, that became a film.
Yeah.
But I'd actually been to see Paul 6 months earlier, Paul McCartney, when Eleanor Rigby came out, and I was writing a column in the Sunday Times called Atticus. It's still going, but in those days, we had more space, and it was more freedom and longer interviews. And I thought the words, not just the tune... The words of Eleanor Rigby were absolutely brilliant. And I thought, this will be the best poetry of 1966, as if I know anything about poetry. So I went to see him at his lovely house in Cavendish Avenue, where he hadn't long moved in, and I got the whole background to where the lyrics came from, how he thought about it, and I did a piece about it. 6 months later, my novel was bought to be made into a Hollywood film, and I went with the director, Clive Donner, to Paul's house again, but this time with a different hat on. This time I was a screenplay writer, and we hoped he would write the theme tune for the film, because he did a few theme tunes in the 60s.
Yeah.
Whose names escaped me, but he did...
The Family Way he did, didn't he?
The Family Way, well done.
Thank you very much. 1 point to me.
Yeah, despite being born in 1970.
I know.
Anyway, he turned us down. But it was this second meeting, I said to him, there should be a proper biography of the Beatles. There have been two little books about the Beatles, one, both paperbacks, one a fan club book for the fans, and one which is very good by an American journalist called Michael Brown, which was a slice of life on a tour. I said, you want a proper biography of the whole jing-bang? And he said, great idea, but you have to see Brian Epstein, their manager.
Yeah.
So there and then, he sat me down and he helped me compose a letter to Brian, telling me which things to stress. And I went to see Brian and I got the gig.
Isn't it funny that Paul McCartney, he couldn't make that decision himself. He had to help you to persuade Brian Epstein to make the decision.
Well, this is 1966.
Yeah.
Brian was their manager and he was still the most important person behind the scenes in their lives, and so obviously anything, a big decision like that which involved them all, Brian had to agree. By the time I'd finished the book in 68, that had all changed. Well, Brian was dead for a start.
Well, of course, that
would
change.
But even before he died in 1967, he had moved away from the Beatles. They were sort of, they'd become independent of George Martin. They were calling the shots in the studio. They were taking forever. And whereas when they first did their first LP, it took a day. And they were bossed around by George Martin. But by Sergeant Pepper, there were 3 months in the studio, and they were totally in charge, telling George what they wanted him to do.
You remind me of a great line from The Ruttles, the Beatles spoof, where it says, the first LP took 20 minutes to record, the second one took even longer. And it's a brilliant, because it was, those first Beatles records, they go in and bang them out, wouldn't they?
That's funny. But what they tended to bang out in those days, they banged out what they've been doing night after night, twice a night, on tour. Whereas with Sergeant Pepper, every song was handcrafted, and they couldn't have done a day in the life on a stage because they didn't have the gear, they didn't have the equipment, they didn't have all the technicalities. So they were creating
not just performing. So that's why it took so long, really.
How much access did you have to the Beatles? Were you kind of given carte blanche and you could just turn up at recording studios? Or did you have set times to interview
them? I had to worm my way in.
Right.
I had to be wheedling and arse-licking and charming and lovely. And but I'd go round in the afternoon to Paul's house, because I still live not far away.
Yeah.
And would walk on Primrose Hill with him. Then John would come, and they would go to the studio upstairs and muck around. One of them would say, I've got an idea here. And they would have half a tune, and then they would work on it. And then they would go round to Abbey Road in the evening, and I would just follow them into the studio. And eventually I was sitting in the bowels of the studio. The studio is quite tall, and George Martin would sit high up behind the glass wall, fiddling the knobs with his assistants.
Yeah.
If the wives came, or friends like Mick Jagger, they had to sit upstairs behind the glass wall. But I managed to insinuate myself, so I sat downstairs with the Beatles themselves.
Fantastic. And were you a Beatles fan? I mean, you said you respected the poetry of some of their lyrics, but were you a fan?
Of course I was. You couldn't devote 2 years of your life to something if you weren't a fan. And I was doing it because I was a fan. I remember sitting in the studio, and when John and Paul were having words about something, I thought they might suddenly turn round, which is what happens when, as it were, members of a family are having an argument. They'll turn around and say, out, what are you doing here? I remember thinking, if I get chucked out, the book will never come out. My contract will collapse. I'll have to pay back the money to Heinemann. But I thought, I'll have had the pleasure and privilege of being here, even though I can't write about it, and watching the Beatles perform.
Mm.
And that would have been enough for me. Well, not would have been enough, but I would have been content with that.
It's a great book. Am I right? It's still the only official Beatles biography sanctioned by the group.
What happened was, when I went to see, as I told you earlier, when I went to see Brian Epstein in his lovely house in Belgravia, in Chapel Street, and we agreed the deal. The advance, by the way, was £3,000.
Wowzers.
And we gave a third of it, of the first edition, the first book, to the Beatles company, which was NEMS, Brian's company.
Mm.
Anyway, during this meeting, Brian offered us a clause in the contract, which we hadn't asked for. My agent hadn't asked for. We hadn't thought about it. And the clause was words to the fact that Brian would give no access to any other hack, any other writer, any other author, for 2 years after my book came out. So my book would have a 2-year run before there was another book about the Beatles. So we're talking in 1966 when I met him.
Yep.
The book came out in 1968. 2 years later was 1970, by which the Beatles were no more as a group.
Brian Epstein, famously wasn't the best at doing deals, was he?
No, nobody was to know that the Beatles wouldn't exist. So all the time I was doing the book, I didn't know I was going to become the only authorised biographer.
Did it upset you? I know John Lennon...
Jammy.
Jammy, very jammy.
Yeah.
John Lennon in the early 70s, he kind of seemed to like slagging off pretty much everything Beatles.
Oh, yeah, he slagged off my
book. He said your book was bullshit, didn't he?
He was slagging off himself. He was slagging off the Beatles. I think it was a Rolling Stone interview. He was in America by now.
Yeah.
And he said my book was a whitewash.
Yeah.
And I rang him up and said, what do you mean? There was no, you read everything about it. The only thing I changed in the book was because you asked me to keep Aunt Mimi happy, and I didn't actually change anything. Aunt Mimi was moaning. Aunt Mimi had read a proof at some stage and said, John never swore as a young boy. I don't want him swearing in the book. So she moaned to John, and John moaned to me. So I went to see her and calmed her down. I didn't change the swearing, but I put a paragraph at the end of a chapter which said, quoting Mimi, John was as happy as the day was long. So it wasn't a whitewash job. But on the other hand, in 1968, I did have drugs in the book.
Yeah.
I do have bad language in the book. I describe Brian Epstein as a gay bachelor. What I didn't have was the groupies. And that was me self-censoring.
Yeah.
And I self-censor because even people in the 1960s knew what happens behind the scenes
in hotels or in dressing rooms. And all four Beatles were happily either married or engaged. And so I didn't want to, out of respect to them, didn't want to draw attention to all their sexual shenanigans.
Yeah.
Which, of course, John boasted about later.
Of course.
Yeah. But at the time, you didn't write that sort of thing.
You've... did you ever think that, you know, kind of 50 years later... And I know you've done so many different novels and screenplay, all kinds of things. 50 years later, that people would still be interested in the Beatles, and you'd be bringing out another Beatles book.
At the time, I did think that the publisher in 66 said, the bubble will burst, we don't want to know about the Beatles. And I said, it's more than just a pop group, it's social history. And they said, who needs social history? So at the time... Even though I didn't expect them to disband and have rows and legal arguments in 1970, I did think their music would fade. Not from my mind, I would still love them.
Yeah.
But I thought other people would come along, equally creative, equally brilliant, and perhaps they would write 200 songs that we'll all sing. And that didn't really happen.
Mm-hmm.
But when my book came out in 68, for the next 40 years, I wrote 40 books on totally different subjects. I never went back to the Beatles till 2 or 3 years ago, and I've done 3 Beatley-type books by chance, because they're so, I don't know, everybody wants to know about them. And I did one about John Lennon letters. So I did 2, John Lennon letters and the Beatles lyrics. And I like to think that both of those were original. There's been 2,000 books about the Beatles since my 68 book. And most of them are reproducing, how else can they do it, the same old biographical stuff. So, but these 2 books I did in the last few years, the lyrics and the John Lennon letters, you had never seen that material.
I don't have the lyrics, but I do have the John Lennon letters book,
so
and it's stunning.
Yeah. Nobody had seen that.
Oh, it's stunning.
Unless they were a private collector and had a few letters.
The book,
the Beatles Encyclopedia.
Yes, which is the new one.
You are coming to.
Yes, which is I'm holding it, and
that is an encyclopedia. So that's not pretending to have new material. That is a new way of organising and explaining the material we all know. So it's an absolutely whopper. You need very strong arms to pick it up.
It's a beautiful book, and it's separated into Beatles places and Beatles and Beatles songs. Yeah. And it's one of the... It's a joy, because you can just pick it up and just see where the pages fall and go, all right, Edinburgh, the ABC Cinema, Lothian Road, and you can read about that. I feel really bad, Hunter. You've missed one person out.
Who's that?
Jimmy Nicol.
Is he not in the people?
No, he's not!
Have you checked?
I've triple-checked. For those who don't know, Jimmy Nicol is
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure! There's a
you got it in front of you?
I've got it in front of me. Now, there's a picture of Jimmy Nicol later on in the book.
And you've looked under... Well, he's in the book, because we have him in the tour.
He's,
we have him in Australia when he replaced Ringo.
Well, maybe he's in Australia. I'm in Beatles people. Hang on. Lennon, Lester. Let's get to the... McCartney... McFall, hang on a second.
That was done by...
No.
The book's in 4 sections.
It goes from Murray the K to Harry Nilsson.
Wow.
And I hate to do it, I feel terrible, but
He should be in. He's in the book elsewhere, but he should be
okay.
in. Okay. The 4 sections, as you say, are people, places, songs, and performances. And each chunk is alphabetical inside that section. And I did the introduction. But I only actually wrote one of them. I did the songs.
Yeah.
So I'm not a Beatle brain. I can't remember any facts and figures. I can't remember anything. So my 3 little helpers did the real work. So I'll have a word with Spencer Lee, who did the people.
Spencer.
To ask him why Jimmy Nicol's not in the people. What you missed out is the really unusual thing about this book, which will annoy all the fans.
Go on.
It's we've given ratings to everything.
Yeah, oh, I know.
You know with restaurants you have 5-star restaurants or a 5-star film. We've done it with the whole book. So we've given ratings out of 10 to every song, every person in the Beatles' lives, every performance and every place. And this is to let you see in shorthand how we rate the importance of these songs or these people.
I've just seen the...
And also it's a sort of way of...
Oh, it's great, because then it gets people going, well, no, he's got that song wrong. I'm just looking at the paperback writers section. It's a list of 12 Beatles books, and you've rated them. Oh, look, The Beatles by Hunter Davis gets 9 out of 10. There's a surprise. There's only one other book gets that.
I didn't actually write that, but obviously I let it go, didn't I?
Of course you did. I like the characters on the periphery of the Beatles. I'm obsessed with Magic Alex, with Magic Alex, you know, Alex, I can't remember his last name, Mardas, the electrical...
Oh, Mad Alex.
Yeah, the technical wizard who promised he could build 72-track studios and soundproof booths, and of course he couldn't do any of those things.
Well, the Beatles, when they created Apple...
Yeah.
...were wide open... to people talking them into things, because they were very naive and they were very idealistic. The idea of Apple was they had all this money, which was 98% in the pound, went on tax. And they thought, well, let's do some good with it. When we came from Liverpool, we could have done with some help. It took us a long time to get going. So we thought, we'll try and help other people. So they were altruistic. And of course, you know, with the Apple boutique in Baker Street, people just walked in and took everything away. And they thought it was a laugh. They thought it was, you know...
Well, everyone was taking advantage. There's a great story of the Hells Angels coming over, because I think George said, oh, if you're in London, come and stay with us. And about 20 of them did, and it all got really quite tense, didn't it?
Yeah.
They were quite naive in terms of business around that period, weren't they?
They were a combination of endearingly naive and yet quite hard-nosed. They could be hard-nosed about some things.
Mm.
If people were taking it, well, look at Taxman. That was George's song, and George was absolutely furious at the government and the people taking all his money from him. So you get very upset by that.
It's a great book, Hunter.
Okay, I'm glad you.
Are you going to do any more Beatles books? Is this it now?
No, I'm finished.
You're done.
I've done Beatling.
You sure?
Well, in this book. Apart from it being a monster encyclopedia, all the illustrations are mine.
Right.
So I've emptied I've been collecting Beatles stuff since the 60s. So it's letters and manuscripts and souvenirs. So I've used those as the illustrations. So that's it. I've cleared my head, cleared my memories, I've cleared the decks, that's it. Nice to talk to
you. Hunter, it's been so nice to talk to you, and thank you so much for this and all your other books. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.